Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Well, if you blew it yesterday and you didn't take the day off, you got another chance today, and then maybe it's going to rain tomorrow on Friday. So I'm highly urging you to call in sick today and blow off work.
I think you really shouldn't be encouraging people to call in sick if they're not sick, Steve.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's...
You think I have that kind of power where I could impact productivity in Chicago?
Yes.
In the greater Midwest?
Yes.
And around America?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just think it's a nice day, and you deserve a day off.
Okay, thanks.
No, not you.
No.
The listeners.
I don't remember if it was last year or the year before, but there was one summer that it was nice all during the week, and it rained, like, every weekend. I hope we're not setting up for one of those again.
I don't know. I don't know.
Yesterday was beautiful. I blew bubbles with my grandchildren.
How much fun is that?
Yeah.
So are they staying with you, Mayor?
No, they had a funeral in the family, so I got to babysit yesterday, my husband and I. Yes, we had the kids all afternoon and today, but
good
he
times.
Will be by himself a little bit today.
So. That's all right. It's good for him. Yeah. Monday afternoon, Abigail and I spent a fair amount of time doing what any 58-year-old would do on a Monday afternoon, and that was playing pretend horsey, where we each had our own horses, and then we would round up mythical figures. Not mythical, pretend.
So,
she's only 3.5. She can't say mythical.
So not like Zeus.
What did you use for the horse?
The horse, I think Sandberg described this. No, Sandberg described this well. How would you describe her horse, Red?
Here's what they do is they put one leg in front of the other, mm-hmm, and they mm-hmm put their hands up as if they're holding reins, yes, mm-hmm, and then you hop forward on the one leg consistently, you know, hop around.
I do that,
Steve,
instead
how
of
did
a divvy
you do
bike.
That?
And then my favorite part was she's 3.5, I'm 58, right? So she sits down, and her horse needed a break, and she asked me to keep working.
Are you in pain today, Steve?
No, I'm fine.
From this?
No.
And when I've done this horse riding with Abigail, and I saw her do it with Maureen, I was assigned a horse named Spirit, and
yeah,
she rides a horse named Chickalinda.
Yeah, actually, she gave me Chickalinda.
Oh. Chickalinda? Where'd that come from?
It's a friend of hers.
Oh.
And Spirit is from the highly popular Netflix series.
I believe, Mayor, there's this Netflix series, and there's a little girl in there named Abigail that has a horse named Chickalinda.
Oh, gotcha.
Because I know she throws that word out, like, you're like, what's Chickalinda?
Yeah. Could be an imaginary word.
Just so you guys know, I'm the, I've kind of been known as the imaginary horse whisperer.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, congratulations, John DeCause.
Just, I can.
It's one of the many awards you have that you've been holding on.
This is unbelievable.
John Koss is here, and I tell you what, I am going to assemble a list of potentially uncomfortable conditions that you may have so you can call in sick to work. And I'll give you a few of those in a second, but let's do the top 6 at 6 right now.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Item number one, Mayor-elect Lori Lightfoot's transition team told aldermen that she plans to issue an order upon taking office next week, attempting to curtail their control over issuing permits and licenses in their wards. Aldermanic prerogative. Was that a Bobby Brown song?
Yeah.
Aldermanic prerogative. If she tries to deliver on a difficult campaign promise to rein in so-called aldermanic privilege. The idea is aldermen, they're kind of their own little mayors of their own little blocks, and they get to do whatever they want. And, you know, if it were self-disciplined and controlled, it's not the worst thing in the world. It's really good for those particular areas because things get taken care of. The problem is it's been abused with regularity. So we'll see if she has any success there. Next. Alderman Joe Moreno was taken into custody last night. Arrest warrant, Chicago police confirmed. He had lost his bid for re-election, slated to leave office May 20th. I lose track of the alderman in trouble. Joe Moreno, what did he do?
He reported his car stolen, but it really wasn't stolen while he was running for election.
Oh, that's a Jussie Smollett move.
Yeah, and then he said it's all been a big misunderstanding, of course.
Because the car wasn't stolen.
It wasn't. So he's
so the misunderstanding is I called it in and the car wasn't stolen.
Yeah, and so he's in trouble for filing a false police report.
Well, I mean, you know, as he should be. So, but he did get a job on Empire?
Yeah. his contract on Empire has not been renewed.
If you want to know, it's a 2016 Audi A6 sedan.
Mm-hmm. Next, the Alabama Senate approved a measure Tuesday that would almost entirely outlaw abortion. It now moves to the desk of Governor Kay Ivey. She is expected to sign it. She has 6 days to do so. This does not allow exceptions for rape or incest and completely goes against the federal law and the constitutional law of Roe v. Wade. And there is an attempt now to get a groundswell of support going around the country. Look, regardless how you feel about abortion, the law of the land is Roe v. Wade.
Yeah, how can they do this? I don't understand this.
Although, you saw earlier this week, the Supreme Court went against precedent for a second time on this case. I think it was a Nebraska case over some sort of a trade infringement of whether states could sue other states and whether, mm-hmm. you know, the sovereignty of states. Mm-hmm. And they went back on a nearly 50-year, if I'm not mistaken, precedent. And Justice Breyer says that this is, again, shows that precedent is in play, that you can go back and change precedent, and this court has shown a willingness to do it twice now.
Yeah, and that meaning the only way you can get this overturned is a constitutional amendment or by the Supreme Court, and now they're trying to build a case, whether it's fully strategic or not, to force this issue into the Supreme Court with the idea that a conservative court could overturn Roe v. Wade.
Yes.
It's one of the most contentious issues there is, so, you know, expect a lot more talk about it. And again, I'm not judging anybody's opinion. You're entitled to your opinion on it either way, but I believe you should follow the law of the land. The president didn't believe that, but I do. Next. A baby Western Lowland gorilla was born at Lincoln Park Zoo on Mother's Day. Mom Raleigh and the male infant are doing well. The baby's yet to be named. The zoo's ape area is going to be closed intermittently as the gorilla group continues to acclimate. Regular hours were resumed this Saturday. I mean, everybody knows when you have a baby gorilla, you know, you need some time. You need some family gorilla time. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to get used to each other. You got to be able to figure things out. You know, maybe it's your first baby gorilla. You should see the size of the diapers. There's a lot going on there.
And, you know, they're redoing their lion area. So those lions are being sent to Kansas City. Remember, we talked about it last week. So we're down two lions, but we're up a baby gorilla.
They had to be sent to Kansas City?
Yeah. You know, Kansas City is known for lions.
Why don't we have another zoo here that was really big.
Yeah, there's no way.
Yeah, what, I don't know.
Maybe starts with a brook and ends in a field.
Whoa! Oh, forgot about that one.
There you go.
Next, zombie raccoons. The Riverside Police Department is warning pet owners about raccoons carrying the distemper virus, which can cause infected animals to walk on their hind legs, stagger, and bare their teeth. How'd you like to see that in the middle of the night?
I wouldn't think so.
No. You know, Super Joe, how much you hate raccoons and how much they frighten you. Would that be the worst nightmare for you, coming across a zombie raccoon?
You know, I'm already max afraid mm-hmm. of raccoons, so them being zombies really doesn't change much.
Doesn't up the game?
Yeah.
Why is he so afraid of raccoons?
It's just his thing. It's Joe's thing.
The thing is, if they bite you, you become a zombie raccoon. That's the problem.
That's not right. What happened. But they said, like, pets that are in fenced backyards and stuff are most at risk, so you got to keep an eye on pets.
I think I'd be a good zombie raccoon, because I already have the dark circles under my eyes.
That's right.
I
kind of have a stagger.
I walk with a stagger, and I walk, you know, upright.
You wash your food all the time with your hands.
You don't really bare your teeth, though.
I could.
I think I would, too, because I like to steal people's food.
That's a good point as well.
I feel like that's a good qualification.
See Grzanich and I wandering around zombie raccoons. I was in a band called the Zombie Raccoons. You knew that, right?
I knew that was coming.
And finally this. No Zion Williamson for the Bulls. I got to tell you something. I thought ESPN's production of the draft in Chicago could not have been more lame.
It's
just three people sitting at a desk. You could have done that in Connecticut.
Well, it's a few more. There's a few more.
But what made that Chicago?
What made it Chicago? Well, yeah, I mean, it had nothing to do with Chicago.
Well, but you're in Chicago and you're ESPN. Why couldn't you put it on a building somewhere or put it somewhere where you got a view of the lake?
You
or,
mean,
or actually put some money into it?
You think like what the NFL did with the draft in Nashville, where all you saw were country music bars and people out on the streets of Nashville?
Show something other than fat people eating pizza and show what this city's all about.
But Steve, this is. It's an event that they could do it in 10 minutes.
Right. So the point is,
over with.
So the point is, why are we even, you know, making an effort? Well, what does it do for the Bulls? Obviously,
well,
they didn't have a good pick.
The league has it here. They have the scouting combine here. Yeah. It's not the Bulls putting this on. It's the NBA.
Right. But what benefit is there to having it here? In other words, the NBA calls.
There's no benefit.
NBA calls. I'd go, no. No, maybe next time.
It's not that kind of event. I mean, it's really something they could just do online.
I like when Rachel Nichols announced it. She laughed. You know, the Bulls get the 7th pick.
Well, because you did hear a crowd reaction, and she also introducing each of the team representatives kind of threw in a little one-liner. Like Jamie Gertz, I guess, is a part owner of the Atlanta Hawks, so she was their representative. Yes, but there was kind of a little one-liner about each of the people. Yeah. Some of them smiled, and some of them didn't.
Yeah, did you notice who didn't smile? The representative of the Chicago Bulls.
Horace Grant?
Horace looked like that's the last place he wanted to be. Horace looked like, I'd like to go out and get some dinner.
He didn't have his goggles on, Steve.
It would have been a better look.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Bulls' rebuild continues. They go from what would have been the 4th pick, if the system were basically done on record, to the 7th pick?
7.
Yeah.
Which is where they've picked the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's worked out great.
Well, I mean, they got two good players.
Which two?
Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr. But he got hurt last year.
Lauri Markkanen? I thought that was a guy with a Finnish dairy where he just makes cheese.
You have to pay more attention.
That is your top six at 6.
That's all today for the top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
And I thought Zion Williamson, for a kid, put on a brave face. I mean, he's got to take his millions and go to New Orleans. That's not easy.
Be a Pelican.
It's not the worst, is it? I mean,
no, it's a good life.
Pelican? What a bad day.
He clearly was not excited about the idea of going to New Orleans, though.
Well, and frankly, you shouldn't be. New Orleans is a great place to visit. You shouldn't have to play basketball there.
Interesting.
I'll give you a few illnesses you can call into work with in a second.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
All right, 6:28 now. So my goal for you is to, well, first off, you've got to make sure you're listening on the WGN radio app because you don't get to turn the show off. And you wouldn't want to. Why would you want to miss it? But my goal for you is to not work today. So I'm going to give you a list of a couple of things, conditions that you could call in sick to work with today. Because honestly, these are so different that nobody's going to look them up. Has anybody ever had boanthropy?
Got it.
You've had boanthropy?
I got it now.
Boanthropy is a condition where you believe you are a cow.
Yep.
So you believe you're a cow.
Mm.
Wait, John's been a bull, right?
Oh, good point.
That's kind of like a cow.
Hi, Bob. Yeah, I'm not feeling great today. My udders are sensitive. I have boanthropy. How about ablutomania? Ablutomania.
Ablutomania.
Yeah, ablutomania.
I got that, too.
You got that as well?
Yeah.
Ablutomania is excessive cleansing of yourself.
Yeah, I take a shower like
every 15 minutes?
Once a day.
That's not excessive.
Oh, that's not excessive?
No.
Okay.
Ablutomania means you just can't stop cleaning yourself. And you do it like a cat, right? Where you lick yourself?
I don't get in the shower or anything like that.
You know what Dave had once? He had Cotard's delusion.
I did.
Yeah. It's a rare medical condition in which he believed he was dead.
I'm not quite sure how I figured it out.
Yeah. Generally speaking, when he was still talking to me and everybody else, he realized he wasn't, in fact, dead.
He pinched himself.
Hi, Bob. Yeah, it's Dave. I can't come in today. I don't know who Bob is. We don't have we call him. I have Cotard's delusion. Oh,
well, we did.
That sounds serious. You should stay home. You should definitely stay home if you got the Cotard's.
Yep. My boss at the time was Bob, by the way.
Oh, was?
Yes.
By the way, that's Dean's Dairy makes that. That's a large curd.
Oh, it is.
The Cotards.
You could also have Capgras Delusion.
You got that as well? 2006, I had it.
That's a disorder in which you think a person close to you has been replaced by an imposter that looks just like him.
Oh, tell me, this is my third wife. It's the same lady, but...
I'm trying to help. These are a few things that you could call in sick with. You don't want to pick something ugly. You know, you could call in, I have a cold. Nobody's buying that. Mm-hmm. You know, come up with something
creative.
Not with
a cough like that.
No. I would also encourage you to use rickets or scurvy. I forget, which one is the pirate's disease? Is that scurvy?
Scurvy is the pirate's.
And which one owns the Cubs?
That'd be the rickets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I got the rickets. That's a disease where you own the Cubs. Wait, that's not a disease. That's fine. So again, call in sick with something that really is something that... look, if you're a female and you have a male boss, just call and you go, got a couple of female issues. They're going to go, whoa, stay home. Stay home. No details necessary.
Yeah, but if you have a woman boss... it's not going to work.
That's why you got to go with Cotard's Delusion.
Mm-hmm.
It's 6:31. We'll come back with the headlines next on 720 WGN.
Obviously, you're not a golfer.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show continues. Looking for me today, you'll find me on a golf course somewhere. Matt Adams scheduled to appear from the Golf Channel on PGA Tour Radio coming up here in a little bit. In addition to that, John DeCoste will be hosting another exciting edition of Fact or Fiction for fabulous prizes. I'm not even sure what we're giving away today. We have registrations for the 5th Third Bike the Drive, tickets to the Sondheim musical, if anything happened on the way to the Forum.
I think I'm going to give away my pillows and app gift cards for Fact or Fiction.
And I think you combined two prizes there.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
There's registrations to the 5th Third Bike the Drive, and then there are tickets to...
No, they're doing a musical on Lakeshore
Drive.
Yeah, it's a new thing they're doing.
And then later we're also giving away a golf foursome when we do our picks.
6:43. If you love golf like I do, you certainly know the work of Matt Adams, a New York Times bestselling author, award-winning host, handsome fellow as well, and fine work on PGA Tour Radio, and he joins us now. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, Steve. How are you guys today?
Doing fine. Thanks for coming on. And you, I assume, are seeing a beautiful morning of Bethpage Black?
Yeah, it's still cool in the metro New York area, but I don't know if you've seen the forecast. Dramatically better in the days. It's going to be, when all said and done, it will be an almost 20-degree difference from the start of the week to the end of the week. The Dodge now is going to be Friday. They're saying a 40% chance of some weather coming through on Friday, but that pretty much is it. After that, the dodging and weaving is over.
This is all part of the new PGA Tour schedule, which I think is smart. We'll see how it works out eventually, but the idea being don't compete with football. Get all four majors in and FedEx Cup playoffs and get things wrapped up and let the NFL do their thing. Are you a fan of the schedule?
Yeah, I do. I like it a lot because we start with, in March, we have the Players. Then we have the Masters in April. We have the PGA in May. We have the U.S. Open in June, the Open in July, and then the FedEx Cup playoffs. Everything's got its spot. It's easy. They're not overlapping each other. You're not competing for attention even within the golf space. And it kind of, as you noted, Steve, it segments it so that as college football and the NFL start to kick in, golf is on the other side of that. Golf will still be played during that time, but that's the start of the wraparound season, and they're just not events of the same stature, frankly, with no disrespect intended. So, yeah, I like the balance of it.
Tiger, of course, just won the Masters, and everybody's eyes are on Tiger, but there's a lot of guys who can win here, including the often overlooked Brooks Koepka. How do you overlook a guy that looks like a linebacker, by the way? But the thing I love about Bethpage Black, Matt Adams, is this golf course comes with a warning, and it's not must be this tall to play. There's literally a warning sign at Bethpage Black that says the Black course is an extremely difficult course, which we recommend only for highly skilled golfers. In other words, if you suck, go play something else.
Yeah, well, the beauty of it is because Bethpage Black is a municipal golf course. It has multiple golf courses on the property, and the New York State Park Association is actually one of the largest golf operators in the country. I'm not just talking about municipal. I'm talking about numbers, because they have nearly 100 golf courses in their portfolio, and this absolutely is even more than the diamond in the rough. This is the crown jewel.
Right.
This golf course was designed by Tillinghast and Brubeck, and the way that they did it was they took advantage of the natural topography of this part of Long Island, so that if, for example, there was a hill and a valley, they would make the target, they would make the green on top of the hill. So the golf course, which has plenty of brawn to begin with, plays even longer when your approach shots have to be played uphill. Once you get to the putting surfaces, though, and this is something that a lot of people aren't talking about this week, but I think it's important to note so you have a better understanding of the tournament, the greens are okay. The greens are not crazy. They are. The PGA never gives you the speed of their greens. They call it championship speed. Mm-hmm. Well, that is about 11 and a half, maybe 12, depending upon wind, because they will adjust it depending on what they're expecting from the respective winds. So the greens are going to be quick, but they're going to be fair, and they are not crazy in their undulation once you get upon them.
Yeah, by comparison, the U.S. Open could be a 13 or a 14 on certain days. So here's the deal. You got long carries. You got uphill approach shots. You got these elevated greens. This is a course that is as tough a PGA test as you've seen. We're not going to see one of these 20-under PGA winning scores, are we?
Probably not, because the one feature of playing this golf course that I haven't mentioned yet, which I think is the most important attribute, is hitting fairways. We talked about how long the golf course is, so everyone goes, well, you've got all the long hitters who are just going to be able to bomb it out there and wedge it onto the greens, and it's going to be great. Well, that's not the way that Bethpage Black is designed. What's more, the spring that the Northeast had has been cool and been wet, and when you have cool and wet conditions, and then you have the pop like we have today with the sunshine, and you have the pop this week with temperatures in the high 50s, mid 60s into low 70s, that makes the grass grow like crazy. Now, I'm not necessarily only talking about length, because the PGA of America has some control about that. What they can do nothing about is density. And so this natural grass area off the fairway, which is a bit of a chef's salad at Bethpage Black, the leaves are going to be very thick, very wide, very much full of water. So if you miss the fairway, in order to get a club on the back of the ball, A, that's going to be difficult. And when you do, there's going to be grass between the ball and your club, so you're likely to get the grass squishes, the water goes in the grooves, and you get what's called a flyer. So it's hard to control. So you're going to see a lot of players wedging it back onto the fairway and then taking their chances from there to try to get it close and save par or otherwise. So I think the most important stat of the week is going to be total driving. Total driving takes into account not only length, but also accuracy.
Right.
And if you look at the total driving on the PGA Tour, I think therefrom you're going to find your contenders.
All right. Steve mentioned, Matt, Tiger coming into this. A lot of people are picking him to win. Give us the case for Tiger Woods to win again at Bethpage Black.
Well, I'm going to give you two sides of the coin. First of all, I'll start with the downside of that, even though he's the guy that won the last major of 2019 at the Masters. He hasn't played since then. He said that he wasn't physically, mentally, emotionally prepared to go out and compete again. Was some of that celebratory for winning his fifth green jacket and his 15th major championship overall? Yes, I'm sure it was. But he also spoke about the fact that at 43 years old with a lot of miles in the chassis, he wasn't ready to devote the massive amount of hours that he does to get prepared to play. So my concern is, where's the rust going to be? It's usually evident with players of that ability with high lofted clubs in hand, little chipping wedges, etc. Putting is another area, because especially with his back, he can't devote the hours and hours and hours to that static position in practicing his putting. So I'm a little bit worried about that. On the upside, Tiger Woods is not likely to come out fast. Tiger Woods rarely comes out fast at major right. championships. By the end of it, do I think that he'll have his stride and have his speed? Yeah, I do. Tiger right now is leading the PGA Tour in greens and regulation at over 75%.
Pretty crazy.
If Tiger, yeah, I know. It's crazy when you consider the fact that he was struggling in that regard just a year and a half ago when he was coming back out on the tour again. So the fact that he is leading the tour in that category, the fact that Tiger has dialed back his driver, added a little bit more loft, meaning that he has more control over the tee ball, I think that's the reason why you have to watch. Remember that stat I was telling you about, total driving?
Yep.
Tiger is 11th in total driving on the PGA Tour. So that in combination with greens and regulation, yeah, Tiger is one to very much keep an eye on.
If not Tiger, who?
Brooks Koepka, as you mentioned, is one that you have to look at. He's fearless. He said at his press conference the other day, they were like, well, there's 156 guys in the field. And he was like, yeah, I'm going to beat 80 of them. And those that are left, half of them will be consumed by the pressure. And then I only have to beat that half. So he, and you know what? If people hear that and they go, geez, that sounds kind of arrogant. I don't know if I like this guy. And then I think to myself, wait a minute. Jack Nicklaus used to say the exact same thing. Jack used to come into a major and he would say, majors are easier to win because I only have to beat 20 guys.
Yep.
He had even a smaller number than Brooks Koepka has.
Right.
So Brooks is one to watch. DJ is always one to watch because he lives in his own world where he seemingly is unaffected by that which crushes everybody else around him. He's got the length. Rory is great off the tee, but Rory has to be on song with everything else in his game, including the wedge. Everyone talks about Rory with the putter and being suspect of it. I'm really suspect when he gets a high-lofted wedge in hand. He misses a lot of wedge shots that he shouldn't be missing, and the wedge is going to be a critical club at this PGA championship. So I'll give you a name, though, that with everything that we've talked about already this morning, if you look again at that total driving stat, if you look at a player that seems to be able to channel it at the time that he needs to, including this season with MOPA wins, Bryson DeChambeau is one that nobody's talking about that is very much able to hit targets with his unique one plane style of swinging. I think he's one to keep a close eye on.
Yeah, that's different, Dave and Sandberg, from my 12 plane swing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Rory's got some emotional issues sometimes, too, where you think, well, is he totally focused on the game? I'm barely focused to get to the first tee. So it's cool. It's just cool to see the best in the game at these best tests. And I like the compressed new schedule. So great stuff as always. Matt and Sandberg, you wanted to help Matt plug some?
Matt's been hosting in the last 12 years Fairways of Life.
Great stuff.
If you are a golf fan, you need this app. They have one for Android or, you know, we can get it on the iPhone. But fairwaysoflife.com. And you can follow him on Twitter at Matt Adams, F-O-L.
Have a great weekend, man. Thanks for the help.
Pleasure, guys. See ya.
See you later. Matt Adams, Golf Channel, and PGA Tour Radio.
That guy speaking another language?
I never thought about that. We should really get you Rosetta Stone for golf.
I'm like, what?
It's a little X's and O's.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's interesting stuff.
I did learn something.
Well, it's no different than people who hear Hampton and go, well, it's Hamp, but I don't understand what he's saying.
Absolutely not.
Or baseball.
You're
I don't understand what they're saying.
You're right.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Mayor Rahm Emanuel's final appearance as mayor on the show coming up. We think he's welcome to come by any time, obviously.
Well, yes, but I think before Monday, he's not going to squeeze in a second visit, so.
But he could drop by, and then what am I going to do? Tell him no? You know, next thing you know, I got parking tickets.
See
the mayor.
Yeah, and my husband last night kept talking about, you know, the mayor says he's going to bike around Lake Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And he had me, we were driving downtown for an event, and he had me look up what the path looks like to ride a bike around Lake Michigan. And like my pet was very concerned.
Well, you got to go through towns and stuff, right?
Yeah,
it's not like one long sidewalk,
right? So Pat was like, "How's that going to work?" And so I was Googling.
People do it all the time, though, right?
That's what they say. Yeah. So,
and I'll ask him for a follow up. He also suggested he would be one of the first Jewish fly fishermen that he and his buddies were going to go fly fishing. Anyway, we'll catch up with the mayor a little bit later on. John DeCoste is here. John, nice to see you as always. And
good.
You're going to do Fact or Fiction.
Factor in? Fiction, yes.
Okay. And we'll give away prizes for that. You have anything you want to plug?
No.
Okay.
Not a thing. No.
Boy, you got a lot going on here.
I'm out of town, so it's like, come and see me out of town.
Where are you going?
Be a silly. Vegas.
Is that this weekend?
That is in a week and a half.
Okay.
So looking forward to that.
We were talking about this before the show today. Tim Conway died. He had a good long life at 85 years old, but this is truly. And I don't say this about many people. It's one of the funniest people that ever walked the planet. I mean, always, always, always funny.
Yes.
And I was lucky enough to interview him a bunch of times. I actually only met him in person one time, and he was great. And frankly, as he said, I'm a good kisser. we had a lot of laughs. And a friend of mine that I used to work with named Rick Rumble who does the Rumble in the Morning show on FM 99 in Norfolk, Virginia. And it's a big deal. I mean, he's a king in Norfolk. Anyway, he reminded me this morning of when he and I were working together, where we thought we should just call Conway because we hadn't been able to connect with him. So we called Tim Conway at his hotel, and he was in town doing shows with Harvey Korman. And he was a good sport about it. He laughed it off and stuff, and had a good time on the show. And he said, hey, by the way, call Harvey. And he gave us Harvey's room number. So, listen, I love the guy. We'll play some of the best of Tim Conway in the talk shows. And the reason we don't play the sketches, like, for instance, the dentist sketch, is Tim Conway's biggest laughs were visual.
Yeah.
He's a very funny guy, as you'll see when we play these talk show clips. But you have to literally watch him when he's the dentist and watch him when he is Mr. Who is Mr. Tuttle? Remember the office guy?
Yeah, always had Mrs. Pressure? Wiggins.
Mr. Tuttle and Mrs. Wiggins. And I mean, it was the sketch stuff from the Burnett Show. So that's coming up as well. And in just a few minutes, the president's calling. So there you go. It's a busy show. 7 o'clock in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Grisanich is next.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Here comes the sun, tootin' tootoo. Here comes the sun, and I say, it's all right.
All right, 7:15 now, and get your MVPP coming up in just a second. Uh-oh. You know what's going to happen. He's going to call. And it's just a matter of when. He's the president of the United States, so you know it's going to happen. And the president, I mentioned the mayor's coming in later, but the president's phone call could come in at any time.
Lady loser.
There it is.
Lady loser. Lady loser.
It's the right tone, as you know. Yes, good morning, Mr. President. How are you today?
Hey, good morning, Cochran, and thanks for showing me the proper respect and having me on before the mayor. You know, just a quick heads up, plan on about 36 tweets from me today about China and Iran. In other words, just my average tweet quota.
I'm sorry, Iran and who?
China.
I'm sorry, one more time?
China.
All right, got it. Listen, now you mentioned China.
China.
You're getting tough on China with new trade tariffs. They just announced the new tariffs. They're going to start next month. Are you worried about the stock market falling even farther?
Oh, absolutely not. You know, the stock market isn't going to be affected by this one bit. In fact, if China and President Xi Jinping keep pushing this, mm-hmm. I'll see their tariffs and I'll raise them by doubling down and tripling our tariffs. And then we'll see a huge spike in the Dow and the NASDAQ Mugu Gaipan Index, believe me. Look, I'm very confident about two things here. We can beat them in a tariff war and a Twitter war. I'm mm-hmm. experts on both. Mm-hmm. The funny thing is I've found that 15 minutes after tweeting out a tremendous insult to China, I'm hungry for more. I really am.
Oh, so that's not a myth. How about that?
Not at all.
Listen, aren't you concerned about our farmers? I know I am. I mean, nobody to sell these huge surpluses of soybeans to if this continues.
Cochran, nobody likes soybeans. Do you like soybeans, Spence?
I never order them at the sushi bar.
You know, I know a lot about agriculture, Cochran. I'm an expert.
Sure you do, yeah.
Frankly, maybe this would be the perfect time for to help these farmers transition into only growing cheeseburgers. You think?
Maybe time
to change.
I thought they were cheeseburgers.
Cheeseburgers, hamburgers.
Yes, those things. All right, so let me switch to Iran. An aide to the Iranian president threatened you, said you're going to get a war because you listened to the mustache, your national security advisor, John Bolton. That's quite a stash.
Well, that's an understatement. The guy could be Wilford Brimley's brother. But I will say, the mustache is a tremendous nickname. Unfortunately, I have to sue him for copyright infringement because I already trademarked that nickname for Khloe Kardashian a long time ago. Now, she's the Tom Selleck of the Kardashians. Did you know that? She really is.
Did not. Now, about the Kardashians, have you talked to Kim since the new baby showed up?
Yes, I called Kim to congratulate her on baby number 4. Can you believe it?
That's crazy.
Why, she really has her hands full these days. She's caring for a newborn, mm-hmm. plus 5-year-old North, 3-year-old Saint, 1-year-old Chicago, and 41-year-old Kanye.
It's a big family.
Yeah, I sent them a beautiful gift for the new little bundle. It's a package of baby Trump steaks. You know, they're great for teething. The baby's enjoying them. We had them tested on Mitch McConnell. They're very soft. Soft enough for Turtle Mouth Mitch. They're soft enough for a newborn, too. They're from the My First Trump Porterhouse collection.
Is that what collapsed Mitch McConnell's chin, having the steak?
You know, I think it may have contributed to
it. For sure. All right, now, we heard your son Don Jr. has reached an agreement to testify in private to the Senate Intel Committee. Do I have all that right?
Yes, they agreed to a limited testimony, though, which is great because Danny has a limited vocabulary. But Danny's only going to appear if several conditions are met. This is what they agreed on. Okay, number one, he gets to prepare his I plead the fifth smirk beforehand in front of the Senate bathroom mirror.
That seems right.
He's got to get it just right for the cameras.
Sure.
Number two, he gets 10 minutes out of every half hour for questioning to re-grease his hair and oil his beard. And number three, during committee recess, he's allowed to go out into the congressional parking lot and shoot pigeons with his hunting rifle to blow off steam. The bottom line is, I mean, he's a hunter. And if they don't throw any math questions at him, Donnie's going to ace this one. He really is.
It's just so good to see your pride as a father in all the right ways.
He can chip off the old... Well, you know.
We wanted to congratulate you, Mr. President. Israel recently announced that they're going to be naming a settlement in the Golan Heights after you. Yeah, that's a big honor.
Oh, bigly honor. You know, I hear they're going to call it Trumpsylvania. Yeah, it used to be a bad area. They got rid of the Section 8 housing, and they cleared out all the deadbeats very quickly. Okay. Before you know it, we'll set up a strict HOA. They'll hand out huge fines if you even let your doggy go doo-doo on your neighbor's front sand. Believe me.
I never asked you that, Mr. President. Did you ever have a dog?
No, never had a dog.
What about Pence?
I had a collie.
No, I mean, do you pick up after Pence?
Oh, no, not at all. He's in charge of his own mess.
All right, now, the area you described, this area as you've laid it out in the Golan Heights, it's a tribute to you. Well, it sounds like some neighborhoods I might know.
You know, I don't know if you know this, but Bibi Netanyahu is a great guy. He also gave me the green light to open up the Trump International Synagogue and Casino in beautiful downtown Tel Aviv. The slogan's going to be great. It's going to say, "Win big and you'll never covet thy neighbor's goods again."
Wow. That is almost spiritual, Mr. President.
It really is.
You're quite impressive this morning, as always, but your 2020 campaign will fast be here. And your campaign manager, Brad Parscale, said it's going to be bigger, badder, and better. How so?
You know, actually, that's a typo. It should be bigglier, badder, and better.
We're
probably going to add blingier to win over the hip-hop vote. That's what Kanye told me anyway, and I trust his sound judgment.
Sure.
Yeah, to answer your question, so many things are going to be different. Like, the Make America Great Again baseball caps were a huge hit. You know, red hats, everyone likes them, both sides.
Mm-hmm.
This time we're going to have red, white, and blue no-collusion bib overalls. And for the ladies, get this, we're going to have hot pink tank tops with sequins that spell out completely exonerated.
Oh, good.
And for the really hot ladies, we'll offer free Trump 2020 temporary tramp stamp tattoos.
Oh.
I'll send a goodie bag over for the Marys on your staff.
Oh, that's nice.
They're going to love it.
That's really nice. All right, listen, on that note, sir, I know that you have to go. We're short on time as well, but as always, thanks for calling President Trump.
Oh, and one more thing, Cochran. Oh, yeah. I almost forgot.
Yeah.
Later, loser.
Oh, yes. Okay. Bye-bye. He's very businesslike today. Very crisp.
I don't see the Marys.
What is he sending?
Wearing tramp stamps.
Yeah,
tramp stamp Trump tattoos.
Yes.
Oh, nasty.
You say that now.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call...
The most valuable person on the planet.
And good morning to Melissa. Is it Melissa Rocky?
It's Melissa Rocky. Good morning.
Hi, Melissa Rocky. How are you?
I'm doing well.
We wanted to salute you because of Footprints to Recovery. It's an organization that you're very passionate about, and you're an alumni of the same, I understand.
No, I'm not actually an alumni, but I have been in the field of working with addictions and mental health for almost 15 years.
Ah, I apologize. So that's my confusion. So explain what Footprints does.
So Footprints to Recovery is a group of addiction care centers across the country that work with people, mostly adults, that are struggling with substance abuse problems and other co-occurring mental health problems. So we have programs that they come to for the day and learn their clinical skills. And then we also, in some of our areas, have supported living for them to practice those skills before they return back to their lives as healthy adults.
What scope are we looking at here as far as the spectrum of conditions?
So addiction. addictions as a whole. So it could be alcohol, drug. We know that there's a huge opioid epidemic going on right now. So folks that are challenged with that, as well as, you know, the co-occurring mental health disorders, depression, anxiety, anything that's really going on for them, we're interested in, you know, walking that journey with them and getting them onto the path of recovery and, you know, having them live in their best lives.
What is it about recovery that's so difficult? My brother, I've spoken about this at his, with his permission many times. He is recovering and is now 16 years sober. And very proud of him. But, I mean, we're talking about seven different rehab stints before it finally took.
I think a big part of that is something that we're taking on as maybe Mental Health Awareness Month is the stigma attached to substance abuse issues and mental health. So many people don't quite understand it. They don't know the facts, and there's so much shame and fear, which then the folks who are struggling feel so alone in it. So I think that's one of the huge issues, that the more that we encourage people to get the help, make them more than their diagnosis. You know, if someone has a broken leg, it doesn't mean that they're broken. They just have a broken leg.
Good point.
So, you know, it's to never to reduce people to their diagnosis, to know the facts, to educate, and most of all, support people. Everyone deserves to be treated with dignity and respect, and to not minimize or dramatize, but encourage them to get the treatment that they need and deserve. We all have stuff that shows up for us, and if we're supported and loved on, it's easier for those people to get the recovery and the health that they need quicker.
Well, and I think, Melissa, something that's important is the co-occurring mental health issues that come along with it. Sometimes people want to not be alcoholics or addicted to drugs, but they have to learn how to address the mental health side of things in order to have the strength to be able to make the decisions to no longer drink or be on drugs. And that can take a long time to get a hold of, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, no one grows up and says, I think I'll be an alcoholic or I think I'll be depressed. Mm-hmm. You know, as, you know, medicine and science, we actually see that brains are different, that there's a hereditary component to this. So the more that we educate people and the more that we support people and, you know, have them work on all these areas and realize that they aren't just depression, they aren't just their, you know, alcoholism. But you're absolutely right. Sometimes, you know, it's a lot easier to work on your depression when you're sober than, you know, trying to do it when you're not. So, but these are people trying to figure out how to get through life. And a lot of times we don't pick the best coping skills. So it's educating folks on different ways of managing that anxiety or that depression and working through it and not turning to substances or alcohol or things like that.
What is a really good day at work for you? Like at the end of a really good day at work, what do you feel like you've gotten, you've accomplished?
Well, the best thing about my job is I never have the same day twice, so I have a lot of really good days.
Yeah, I'm guessing.
I think, yeah, a really good day is knowing that we've done everything we can to help people and educate people, and sometimes that's really hard. I like to call us hope holders. It's the best part of my job, but also the hardest part at times. So I think the best part of my day is knowing that I get to hold the hope that it can be different for people and that we get to do that together as a team and offer something different and hopefully save some lives.
Well, Melissa Rocky, I think it's clear you're the most valuable person on the planet.
Oh, well, thank you. You know, and with it being Mental Health Awareness Month, we're doing a few things. Tomorrow we're actually going to be down by the Bean passing out ribbons and info cards to help reduce stigma for mental health awareness. So we're excited to get out there, and we're going to be doing that across the country, you know, Chicago, Denver, and Philadelphia. So I'm excited for us to get out there and do a little bit of grassroots and educate people to help reduce that stigma, because we know that that is what will help more people get the help they need. And then next week, I'm really proud. We have opened our recovery home in Elgin, Illinois. So we have an open house on Tuesday. Everyone's invited to come out and see what a day looks like for us.
I'm looking forward to all of that on behalf of you. Thank you for doing it. And here's the deal. You can't walk off cancer. You can't walk off heart disease. You can't walk off any major condition, and you can't walk off depression. You don't snap out of it, and that's the stigma we're talking about. Let's all accept it for what it is. Give it the respect in treatment and research that we need to do to help make everybody better, including me.
Yeah, and, you know, we're inviting everybody. We have a pledge on our website to help reduce stigma. So if folks want to go to footprintstorecovery.com and sign that pledge as one step to help reduce that stigma, you know, that's one little thing that we can all do. And if you see us walking around in lime green shirts downtown tomorrow, stop by and get yourself a ribbon.
Oh, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys.
That's Melissa Rocky.
Our MVPP.
Sponsored by MegaPros and making fun to get stuff done. Oh, and by the way, there was a technical problem for a period of time with the Let It Be Us website the other day. That's all fixed up now, so if you didn't get a chance to make a donation, I hope you will today. I sponsored some people for the walk. You can still get in for their walk this weekend. Go to letitbeus.org. Help in any way you can. Let It Be Us, inspiring foster care adoptions and fostering to adoption. We can be better at that, and we will be, in no small part because of what Let It Be Us does as well. Man, that MVPP shows off good people.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, back to me. Let's see. We'll come back and get your headlines on 720 WGN. The Steve Cochran Show. John DeCoste is here. And, John, let's play Fact or Fiction here in a couple of minutes.
Perfect.
312-981-7200. That is the number. And what we need you to do is call in and park yourself, because you think you know whether John is giving you a fact or a bunch of malarkey.
Right.
We were going to call this bit a bunch of malarkey for a while.
Yeah.
So, didn't have the same ring.
Real stuff or a bunch of malarkey.
So, in the meantime, we know it was sadness, but great respect. The passing of Tim Conway. Tim Conway died yesterday, 85 years old. There may be a lot of people in the audience who aren't old enough to appreciate the greatness of Tim Conway, because the best stuff Tim Conway did was in the 70s and early 80s. He was a huge star from the Carol Burnett Show, but I'm telling you, he's one of the funniest people I have ever known. And that's everybody. I include everybody in that. Now, we can't play you the stuff that he became most famous for because they're very visual. The sketch of he and Harvey Korman as the dentist. And he and Harvey Korman doing anything was funny.
Yes.
So I highly encourage you to blow off whatever your duties are at work today to spend some time on YouTube and Google up Tim Conway and watch some of those videos. In the meantime, he was also a great talk show guest. So there's a little bit of Tim Conway from Carson and Letterman and a bit of a montage here on WGN.
My first guest I consider a good friend. I'm a great admirer of his, as a comedian, actor, performer. Mike, Tim does some writing also. Mr. Tim Conway.
Thank you. I have some observations about air travel, if I might. I always like the stewardesses who come on, too. They're always very nice and tell you some of the safety programs in the plane. They always say, you know, that if there is a change in cabin pressure, a little mask will fall down in front of you. Please take the mask, pull it down firmly, and place it over your nose and mouth, and breathe normally. If that mask ever falls, ladies and gentlemen, I don't think that we will actually be breathing normally. I mean, then the pilot always comes on. He has a lot of information to tell you. He usually wakes you up while you're sleeping, but he comes on, and he usually sounds a little something like this.
Is that not a lot of goodness? You can't let us see if you're about to say it. But the guy's on 1 feet. Are you performing? Couldn't it? Second level? Okay.
Nice to see you. Thank you for being on the show.
We've never met before, obviously.
I think we have met one time.
Where?
In
the room.
No. Some awards thing I think we met. Didn't we?
That's right. Yeah, I didn't win and you did or something like that.
I don't know.
Really annoying. That's right, you did.
Nice
I'm sorry. I forgot about that.
Thank you very much for being here.
Come on.
11 years you were with Carol Burnett. Now, you were a regular on the show 6 years?
Yeah.
And then as a guest star...
For the last four.
Yeah.
No, does that make sense?
Last
that
five.
Would only be 10. They owe me for a year.
Yeah.
I better call them up. Yeah, I was almost all 11 years. Yeah.
And you had other shows.
Several. A lot of them. David.
Now, I remember one called, it was a Private Eye show, which was Ace Crawford.
Ace Crawford.
Ace Crawford, Private Eye.
Then I had five shows that were called the Tim Conway Show, mm-hmm. because obviously I was the only one in the room when we were voting on a title.
Mm-hmm. Normally I ask people who come on the show, do they have a film clip of their new show or movie?
Yeah, unfortunately, you're not allowed to show it because it's on another network. Oh, you know, so but we could run it anyway for us, I suppose, and then just not show it to folks at home. Could bring it over the house or something, I imagine.
Yeah. So we can't. We have none.
We have none.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
Well, these things happen. You know.
Of course they do.
Have you seen the?
Have you seen? Are you? Yeah. Are you seeing anyone? As they say, anyone?
Oh,
special?
I'm seeing a lot of people. They're not seeing me, but I. I find when you get to this age, you really don't date. You what I have is a brochure. So. Because I've heard those stories so often from myself about high school and college and the Army and everything, I just hand them a brochure, and then in a week, if they like that, I go out and have dinner with them. And then I don't have to repeat all those
Put
stories.
Put all the stuff in.
Sure, yeah. It's going real well for me, yeah. Yeah.
Just a handful of talk show appearances, and make sure if you do a little Googling up of Tim Conway today, make sure you find him as the slow shoe salesman. Where he takes about an hour and a half to bring the shoes out from the back.
I love that. That is like my favorite. Just his facial expressions.
The best.
Because he always had that sullen look on his face, you know?
My favorite, the Mrs. Sawiggins. Could you come in here with your notebook, please?
Right.
Classic.
Candace and Margaret standing by. We'll play Fact or Fiction next.
Fact or fiction, fact or fiction. The simple thing shall cause a mass addiction. The cause will write the fake one. Make your choice and then the game's done.
So is that the short version when we're tight on time? Is that what you did?
Yeah, that's
okay.
I like
that's
that.
Joe, it does it well.
Candace is in Chicago Ridge. Good morning, Candace.
Good morning. How are you?
All right, how are you today?
I am great.
You don't sound great, Candace. You sound bummed out.
I'm sitting on 294 in a parking lot.
No, so that kind of stinks.
There's not a parking lot in 294.
Yes. There is today.
Well, it is now. It has been since they started construction.
Candace, put your window down and just scream, I'm on the Steve Cochran Show. All right, maybe.
Yeah.
All right, so fact or fiction. What's the statement?
Fact or fiction, Candace. Iran arrested 14 squirrels on suspicion of espionage. Fact or fiction?
That squirrel I just did there, that impression, that squirrel
good.
Speaks Farsi.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, my gosh, that's so stupid. Fiction.
No, that is a fact.
Why? No, it's not. No, it's not.
Another country actually hooked up some spy stuff onto these squirrels, and they were arrested.
They were spy squirrels?
Yes, 14 of them.
God.
My squirrel just cursed at you.
This is on the heels of that whale being, you know, spying on
a spy whale. All right, Candace, hold on. It's not like you're going anywhere. We have some consolation prizes for you. Meanwhile, Margaret's in Palatine. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning.
Where are you?
I'm actually in Arlington Heights, cruising to the office.
and in your face, right. Candace.
Yeah, she's really rubbing it in. What's the office? What do you do?
I do international trade management.
Me too.
I live the hell of Trump every day.
Yeah, no kidding. You must be just having a good time.
Oh, my God.
We got some awesome listeners today.
Do you just not pick up the phone, like right now?
What?
Do you not pick up the phone right now because you know there's going to be angry people on the other end?
Yes, that is very true. I write a lot of memos.
Well, God bless you. Come here. Here's a hug. Here's a hug, you Margaret. All right, whenever you're ready, John.
There we go, Margaret. Fact or fiction.
God, fact or friction?
Say that today.
Fact or friction.
I'm sorry. The Church of Latter-day Saints uses a picture of a man climbing a ladder to heaven on its stationery.
Well, that sounds totally reasonable.
No.
Unlike your squirrel, dopey squirrel thing.
I'm going with fact or friction.
Oh, I like what she did.
No,
there.
I made that one up. That is,
she says
that
fact.
Is that, yeah, no, I made it up. It's
yeah,
fiction.
That's wrong.
It's wrong.
Come on, the Latter Day Saints yeah. has a ladder.
God, on the ladder.
Well, this what is the Mormon logo?
I have no idea. I don't know. I made this up. I don't have to do research on stuff I made up.
Oh, so you make it up? You don't have the actual answer?
Don't know the answer. Okay.
All right, they're both gonna.
We don't know that that's false. Then.
Yeah, maybe
that's
it's
true.
Yeah. Yeah, what she said.
I hope you get a jillion phone calls today.
Margaret, he's wishing angry Asian businessmen on you today.
All right, they're both going to get a MyPillow.
All right, hold on a second. MyPillow's for both of you and...
They're
no, we're fine. Relax.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Saverick's going through convulsions here because she thinks I didn't listen to Joe. I actually did this
They
time.
Were both incorrect. They're both getting MyPillows, which is an amazing gift, and that's all.
Your arms are flailing so hard. I thought you were going to poke John's eye out.
I thought we were giving a heart out.
We'll take that break now. And 1-800-MYPILLOW or MyPillow.com.
You can use promo code WGN.
Look, all the time you're taking. News is next on the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. How nice of you to come over. Rahm Emanuel's here, the mayor of the city of Chicago, for another few minutes.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You know, I want to jump around a little bit and not ask the same questions that you get asked every single day. But the one question I get asked,
when are you going to take the garbage out?
No, one question. I mentioned earlier that we were taking the relationship to the next level, and he brought me flowers.
I didn't bring. No, no, no.
Oh, they're
not. No. Let's be really clear. One, I know that you are not a man of a big heart.
What's that? No, that's ridiculous. That's and a ridiculous statement.
I
have to
give you what we did at the Emanuel home. Last night, I got Amy a massage. Flowers arrived with a note from myself and Zach, Alana, and Leah.
What did you do wrong?
No. You don't understand, appreciate that. And then we roll into Sunday. Okay, Amy actually is going out of town for her niece's graduation. So I know that you're going to leave this to the last minute. And so I gave you the flowers here to give. Look at those vases. I want the vases back.
The vases are beautiful.
And then it's been almost 25 years since we raised it here in Illinois. And we've tried the anorexic approach to investing in transportation. Right. My view is we should try the robust full buffet. And
Get it done.
I'm trying to use terms that you would appreciate there, Steve.
Well, not as much as I used to.
He's got to turn around like I did.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I know you have a good relationship with him. And by the way, remind him he should do the show as well.
But do I get a fee if I
a finder's fee? Until you're out of office, because otherwise it'd be an issue.
I can't wait to tell the Inspector General. Cochran's the one that brought it up. I didn't have anything to do with it.
Right, and I told him not until April.
Joe Ferguson, I did it. Go to the tape, play it. He was the one that offered me a finder's fee.
Right, there's no way it can't be.
I just want to know, in Yiddish, when we say bubala, booby, that usually means translated 10%.
Oh, 10%? I had no idea.
Booby means, I know that means my loved one, but if you read it from left to right, not right to left, it means
10%. Yeah.
Okay, booby.
So booby plus. If there's an inflection with that, it could get really expensive.
My bubble.
Yeah, thanks for the flowers.
From the mayor. I want to wish you a really great Mother's Day. And I don't take it out on Steve that he couldn't think ahead and plan ahead. I'm here to help.
It's brutal.
No.
Thank God the city's working. I'm obviously a failure.
Mary, you know what we did last Mother's Day?
What?
We played golf.
Oh, really? Was it on a weekend, too?
I got to see if video exists. I can't believe I would have done that.
You went golfing for Mother's
Day. I doubt that.
Can you tell you the truth?
I got a picture.
You know what? That's really nice of you. Getting him out of the house was probably good for her.
Oh, it's a gift for Maureen. Look what you did there.
Thanks, Steve.
Mayor, thanks, man.
Yeah.
Appreciate you coming by. Yeah, and it also gives Maureen a chance to date, if I'm out playing. Ladies and gentlemen, Mayor Rahm Emanuel.
How are you, Steve?
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
Thank you. These last few days, is it weird?
Nope. Actually.
But here's the thing. I think...
Nope.
Next question.
Is this going to be his one-word answer interview?
Well, listen,
I'm going to try my Russian. Go ahead. Give me some yes-nos. I only know one word.
Here's the reason I ask, is because you tell me if I'm wrong. I believe of all the big jobs you've had, I think this job means more to you than the others.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, yes.
So you've had time to think about it, grieve it, if that's the case?
Here's how I look at it. I came to make sure the city got its swagger back, that it was able to not only address the problems, have a better future. I know the hand I was dealt with in 2011. I know the hand I walk out and hand over. And I think on a host of measurements and ways you look at it, the city, and more importantly, the residents of the city of Chicago are better prepared for tomorrow than they were when I walked in. And I think, just to give you an anecdote, yesterday I was at a graduation or a courting ceremony. Nearly 400 kids in Chicago Public Schools earned 15 college credits or more.
How about that?
Okay, 5,000 kids. We started 500 kids, or actually 300 kids were taking dual credit, dual enrollment. I walk out, it's north of 5,000. We have set 7 consecutive years of record graduation with record college attendance and acceptance.
And the free college, we promote those kids all the time. The city college
Chicago
kids are in there all the time.
I did a lunch with about 20 of them, 25, one of them, and they're all going, not only they went to community college for free, they have a dramatic reduction in the junior and senior year. They're going to graduate debt-free. One young man went to community college for free, has a starting job at Capital One with no college debt.
How about that?
bang.
Wiping out college. Yeah, that's a mic drop.
Okay.
I want to talk about...
No, because there's no federal government. We figured it out all here the Chicago way.
Yeah, well, there is no federal government.
Yeah.
I want to talk about a couple other things that I think are very worthy of mention. But before we get to that, is there anything you're taking from the office? Like something that was mean something to you? Not something you brought in, but something that means something to you that you're going to go, this is coming with me. Because here's the thing. If you've ever had the chance to be at City Hall, it's an incredibly historic office.
I will, but it's not. Like, I didn't realize. Two things. One, the alderman gave me the gavel that you use at the podium of City Council.
The one you hit him with?
Well, in fact, there's a crack from one time I did get kind of a little. I got a little.
Well, that's kind of cool.
A middle Jewish child reaction. I don't know what happened. You know, as I said, middle children wrote a book, War or Peace. We do either one.
You
not
decide.
War and Peace.
You
war.
Decide.
All right. Here's what got wheeled in. So, you know, there's folks that work for 2FM, which is Fleet and Facility and Management. And I see them all the time at any event I'm at. You know, they pull the podium off when we're about to cut a ribbon or whatever.
Sure.
They're all there. They're in the back. They're running the sound, etc.
Yeah.
They wheel in the mayoral podium. And it's handmade to my height.
Come on.
It's sitting in the office, and I'm taking it home.
Well, of course you
I'm
are.
I'm putting it in the kitchen. I'm going to start lecturing.
Are you going to address Amy with that?
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies. Lady. We'll go with ladies and gentlemen. Ladies. Lady. Could you please? Shh, I'm talking. No,
it's, that's tremendous.
With a seal on it.
What an honor.
And I said, what is this? And they go, this was made for you, and we're going to give it to you as a gift.
That's
I go, no,
very
no.
Cool.
I said, that can't be. And they go, no, we're giving the. And I'm walking away with a mayoral podium with the mayoral
that's
seal.
That's pretty cool.
And microphones on it. So I could, like, if I get up at 2 in the morning, I sleepwalk, I could go down and actually address City Council. This time, they'll listen.
Well, that's very cool.
Is that? And I'll put a gavel on it, and I'll whack, you know, at there. No, but I thought, like, I don't even know. Where do you put? I'm thinking of putting it outside as, like, art furniture.
No, in the house, man. It's in
really?
The house. Yeah.
You could pull it out, though, for, like, when during Halloween with trick-or-treating, you can be in the front yard. You know?
Oh, big, yes.
Get off the lawn.
Yes.
How did your mother dress you? I could be like that whacked out uncle.
That's pretty good.
I'll wear my pajamas, my slippers, knee high socks. Just bark at them.
Now,
boxers or something like that.
Here's the other thing about
Get
your
off
office.
The lawn.
You about the office before I forget.
Yeah.
When you wait in the outer office, there are a picture of the 53 men and one woman.
55 now.
And you.
She'll be 56.
Right.
U.S. history for 200.
But the first...
Don't laugh at that. It only encourages...
The first 40 are guys with beards.
Yeah.
You know, and they all look like the same picture of the same guy. Need to... your picture, Daly's picture, Lightfoot's picture now, have to go to the top. We got to flip those pictures.
Well, there was...
Because you're down at the bottom. You're like at the floor.
I think... I don't know. First of all, like, you got all these guys, and all of a sudden comes Rahm Israel Emanuel. That's, like, not there.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
There's not... You got Thompson, you got Daly,
right.
You know, all of a sudden, you know, I think what they're going to do, I don't know it for a fact, but I think they're thinking about because of, you have to go to the next wall. I think they're talking about when you get off the elevators on the fifth floor.
No, I have them outside.
They're going to have them out in the hallway rather than in the anteroom. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't think they've decided that yet. And you know what? That's above my pay grade.
Any advice you've given Lori Lightfoot you can tell us?
You know, that's not, I have this... rule, which maybe I'm old school, like with the both presidents, you know, you got to give advice private. They got to know confidently. They can ask you and you give it, you don't. I've written my note to her.
Mm-hmm.
So it's on the desk?
There. I'm going to reread it because I want to see if I want to change it.
You want me to proof it?
No, I'm okay with that. Okay. It's in English. You okay with that?
Oh, sure.
It has commas.
It's my second language.
Yeah. What I am, I will say, since that one will be the personal note, what I have left on the top under the glass, if she chooses to use the desk.
Sure.
You know? So one little story, about this time, actually, the Daly family approached and said the mayor would like to have the desk. It's his father's desk. I said, absolutely, 100%. So I said to the folks that take care of it, I said, just go find a desk. I said, well, we'll deal with this later.
And they went to IKEA.
Yeah. And they found, sitting in the basement of IKEA, out in the suburbs, was Mayor Cermak's desk.
Really?
Yeah, and they brought back Mayor Cermak. History. Yeah, forget about it. He was in the car with Roosevelt.
Yes.
Roosevelt, right?
Right.
And then I got a photo when it became public that it was Mayor Cermak's next. I got a photo of him with 12 white men standing behind him whenever he was signing something. Before, according to the grandson, it was that original photo. According to the grandson, I still have it. That was the day before he left to see Roosevelt. Don't know if it should be true or not.
Didn't make you think, what else is downstairs?
Steve, hold on. I'm in the middle of my story. I'm feeling good about myself. Don't do that. I'm hurt. I'm very hurt.
So yeah, actually,
I'm
going to
leave on the top. This is very important because it's my favorite quote.
Okay, go ahead. I'll be over here.
That was dismissive. Try that again.
Go ahead. I'd like to hear more.
Okay. I'm going to leave on the top, under the glass, the Teddy Roosevelt quote. About the man in the arena versus the critic on the sideline. And it's all about stumbling. It's about being the energy that comes from being in the arena, even if you stumble, rather than the timid souls who sit on the side. And in the lowest moments, and there'll be lows, there's great peaks in this job and there are great valleys. You have to look at that quote and remind yourself of why you're doing what you're doing. And the energy that comes from this.
The majority.
And then I'll read a personal note for her in the drawer.
And I assume the majority of days you got up over the last 8 years, you couldn't wait to get to work.
I had a rule in the White House, and it's the same rule here. When the gate opened to the west wing, you know, driving through that driveway between OEOB and west and the west wing, if you don't have that chill in your back, that this is something unique and special, hand in the badge, hand in the stuff, get out. I will. They're great. My staff is crazed because I'm still like, I actually called the head of the park district because I did my preparing for the bike trip.
Sure.
I was riding on the bike path, and I have a call in to Mike Kelly because there's some places where they haven't replaced, where there's just mud now alongside the bike.
Mm-hmm.
I want tree, you know, get grass there, get trees, etc. I went down just south of Hyde Park. I did about 28, 29 miles, but there's places that it needs to be clean. So I'm going to keep moving. We have some other things I think in the news that will be coming. Yesterday, 2 years in a row, was the NBA lottery.
Mm-hmm.
It was the only city to have it, and this one was really exciting. And then next year, a short time from now, February, we get the NBA All-Stars here in Chicago.
Right.
And
you're gonna need help with tickets.
No, I'm okay on this one.
Okay.
I got Adam Silver. Do you need help? Because I got something in the nosebleed for you, Popola. It is special. We're gonna work on another sporting event for a sporting team for the city of Chicago.
Wow.
Yeah.
You want to tell me now, or
I'll go out on a limb. The Chicago Fire won't next season be playing in Bridgeview. Where they will play?
They will not
be playing.
Now, from this vantage point in this studio, you see Navy Pier, you see the river, and you see something that I think you and your people ought to be very proud of, the new Riverwalk, and all the things that have changed for folks in regards to business. You know, and I was talking about the cranes on the skyline and stuff. You weren't handed the best financial situation when you came in, and business has really been revived.
Steve's ability to observe the obvious and make it look insightful is incredible.
I'm trying to avoid having you say Daly handed me a bag of poop.
I don't do that.
I don't know. I'm saying.
Here's my thing. Iran, I'm responsible for fixing it,
right,
for assigning blame.
Whatever you get.
Yeah, I know it. And I know what you can take any measure. I know what the parks were. I know what the libraries were. I know where the schools were. I know where the community colleges were, where the finance, the business community. My job is to fix the problem, not assign blame.
Is the business momentum going to continue?
Well, you got to work on it. It doesn't just, it's not, it's
doesn't
not,
just happen.
You can't hit cruise control. Last week we announced a new company. There's a partnership between Microsoft and Kroger in Cincinnati. And they're bringing 250 jobs and a tech. They're going to the post office. It used to be 20 years empty. Here's what I think. I rejected the normal narrative that's all about the fiscal, pensions, and budget.
Mm-hmm.
We have strengths. Highly great universities, more than any other city except for Boston. Double down. Make them develop the research centers that pump out real important educated workforce. Bring kids from all over the Midwest here and all over the country and the world here. Give our community college graduates a chance at those jobs. Invest in your transportation system. Oh, here, Midway, Union Station, CTA. Make sure you have a growing, vibrant technology. Fastest growing sector in Chicago, the tech scene.
Right.
And then manage the finances so they're no longer a cloud of doubt over the future of the city. And if you focus on the fundamentals, both the strengths and then turn the challenges into opportunities, you can have a thriving number one city for foreign investment, 6 consecutive years.
Right.
Number one city in America for corporate relocations in America, 6 consecutive years. City of Chicago. Just recently, it was 8th worldwide in A.T. Kearney's top 100 cities, most economically competitive cities and culturally in the world. 8th. Now, it's the only city of that 100 in the top 10. So there's New York, Tokyo, Berlin, that is not the financial or political capital of the respective country.
There you go.
So why? Great people, unbelievable culture, unbelievable universities and educational system, and a business climate that people want to invest in. If you mess up the climate, people will say, you know what? We don't have to. We'll go to Seattle. We'll go to San Francisco. We'll go to...
Yeah, they want to like the neighborhood.
They want to like the place that invites them to invest.
Sure. Is 8:30 when you have to leave us here, or do we have time to take a break?
So you can take a break.
We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, and then I've got to ask you about something, which I think is one of the things that means the most to you.
Okay.
So, by the way, I don't want to sound like a memorial service here. You're going off to go fly fishing with your friends.
You know why you do want to do that? Because in the Jewish faith, when you sit Shiva, you get 7 days of food, and you want to do that.
Not anymore. You know, you've so changed me. I haven't eaten in 6 months. It's 8:28. More with Mayor Emanuel in a second on 720 WGN.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Mayor Rahm Emanuel is here. He leaves office in a few days. And if there's one question, you know, people stop me all the time. They say, Steve, and I say, what? They say, what is Mayor Emanuel going to do? And I said, here's what I know. I know he's going to do the Circle Bike Tour. And I said, he did reference Jewish fly fishing with friends. Is that still happening?
Yeah. So biking around, leaving Tuesday morning, the first day after I'm not mayor, 6 a.m. from Montrose, 2 weeks around Lake Michigan with a friend. And then when I get back, which will be our anniversary, in case you want to send flowers to me, 25. I then leave,
and
5 of us are going to go up to Alaska to a river that opens up that day. And we're going to go fly fishing for 5 days. Then I'm going to go see Zach's graduation. And then Amy and I are going to go to Europe for 2.5 weeks.
Well, I think you've earned it. What have your brothers said about you fly fishing?
Well, first of all, Zeke, my older one, mm-hmm. has come with me. We do a thing about 5 of us, Skip, Paul Bagala, Michael Alter, Ezekiel, and myself. And we go every first week in May up to Montana. We've been doing it for 6 years. So Zeke fly fishing. Zeke's, if you think I'm impatient, I have really good bedside manners compared to the doctor and the family.
How do you take Paul Begala out in the sun like that? That's the paciest human being on the planet.
I want to tell you a funny, there's a great story. So we're on a boat, we're fly fishing, Begala's in the back, and Begala's hit like a real dry spell, and I'm like...
Mm-hmm. You're grinding him.
And I'm just like, it's not the hook doesn't even hit the water. Boom, boom. I'm just smacking him down. And Paul's got one of these dry spells, you know, going on. So I'm like fighting a fish, trying to bring it in. Begala's in the back of the water, like, it again, just sitting down because it's just been 2 hours of just nothing. Mm-hmm. I said, Paul, I got to ask you a question. And I'm fighting this fish. Right? I go, Paul, do you think my butt looks fat in these waves?
That's fantastic, because that's all you're looking at. So you ain't looking at fish.
So then he's got, on my desk, a framed photo with what I'm doing it, and it says, burnt into the wood of the frame. Let me say, I didn't say butt. So, you know,
no,
a
sure.
bunch of guys, I cleaned it up for me, because I didn't want you to lose your license with the FCC.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, I need the
so
good.
I said, do you think my butt looks fat?
Hey, what are you going to do if one of these candidates next summer asks you to help him?
For what?
President.
Nothing.
Not going to take the call?
No, I'll take the call, but I'm not going to get involved. I'll give him free advice. It's cheap.
But you're definitely not going to go out and stomp for somebody in 2020.
What about
Biden? You love Biden.
Yeah, I do. I mean, you know my history, Joe. I was President Clinton's point person getting the crime bill, the assault weapon ban, violence against women. Joe was the sponsor. We put it in the crime bill in 1994.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see right there in the cabinet room. The president says, we got it out of the House because we only passed the assault weapon ban by one vote. You got to get this done, Joe. I remember him saying, Clinton, okay, I'll wear the flag jacket. Mm-hmm. And the Republicans were filibustering because they didn't want the crime bill with the assault weapon ban and the Violence Against Women Act. And that's how Joe and I got to know each other. We obviously, our offices are next door to each other in the West Wing.
Mm-hmm.
Although I would like to say the chief of staff has a bigger office than the
West. Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't
by
know.
6 feet. I always reminded him of that.
Exactly.
I said, you want to come in and see, stretch out, Joe? I got a bigger space.
Sure.
But I do. I love. But, you know, I'm served with Mayor Pete. I know Amy Klobuchar very well. And I think we have a. Here's what I think right now. You have the 3.8% unemployment.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Clinton, George Bush, or Barack Obama be at 58%. This guy's at 43. The American people told you they don't want to vote for him. We have not explained to them why they should vote for us.
Totally agree.
But Trump has done a phenomenal job of giving the American people at 43%, 67% of them saying, we're not doing this. Even with one of the better economies that we've seen in a while. And I think that's an opportunity, but we're Democrats, so we can do everything we can to try to mess it up.
Yeah, I mean, he's a wholly unlikable human being, and it's being handed to the Democrats, but you got to figure it out. We're going to run out of time fast. I want to talk to you about kids.
Yes.
You know how much your kids mean to you, how much my kids mean to me. We're both a little sappy when it comes to kids.
Yeah.
However, I think, and by the way, the text line is 312-981-7200. Bring it. I think one of the great things you've done for the city is what you've done for kids in regards to pre-K in particular.
Thank you, Steve.
You know, yeah. I got a 3.5-year-old little granddaughter. She's going to be involved in it soon, and it's really changed the future of the city.
Here's, I've always said kids drop out of college in fourth grade. And you have to get them learning. You have to get them earlier than 4 years old. But we've now added full-day pre-K to every child. We've added full-day kindergarten to every child, a full day of school. And then when you graduate, we now give you free community college. And so I think the K to 12 is so outdated. And I actually, when I was in college, I was going to do early childhood education. That's what I was originally interested in. I wouldn't recommend giving your kids to me to watch, but that is what I want to do. And I've always believed, as a father and as a son of a pediatrician, I know you thought I was going to say something else, but as a son of a pediatrician, that those early years are the make or break years. And we have to, and we've expanded the investment. And now, regardless of your zip code in the city of Chicago, regardless of whether your parents are good advocates or not, you get a full day of pre-K and a full day of kindergarten. And that is worthy of time in public service.
I'm going to give you a last word in just a second. Aside from you know, your appearances here on the show, I very much appreciate the access. I appreciate the honesty. I appreciate the laughs. And I appreciate everything you've done for the city. And while I know
you're not, I appreciate what you do.
Thank you. And while I know you're not done with public life, I think it's important for folks to get an opportunity to say thank you. And I assume the folks you're running in the street, a lot of folks are doing that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, thanks for your time, thanks for your service. Thanks, you know, yesterday I took a walk on the Riverwalk to make it back to the other. Thank you for this. There's, you meet the kids at the lunch we had who are the Chicago Stars that are going to the CME. Gives them money also for the next 2 years. I mean, I know a number of those kids that were crying. Can I call you? I always say yes. I met a young man at Solario yesterday. He came in the office for a photo. He's going to go to Northwestern on a full ride. Let me give you some. Immigrant family. Three boys. His brother's on a full ride at Northwestern. He's going on a full ride at Northwestern. His younger brother's a sophomore. His mother is a janitor.
God bless him.
Now, he introduced me 2 years ago into the opening of the school day. That's where I said Chicago would be a Trump-free zone. He came by to do a photo, single mom. I gave him my cell, and I said, look, you're ready for this, but I know what happens at first, and I gave him what I said. I said, I'm not your father, I'm not your parent, but the hardest thing you're going to experience in college is freedom.
Mm-hmm.
It's really tough.
Right.
So first 6 months, you don't do anything you hadn't done while you've been at your home.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, remember, you're going to be nervous. Everybody else is as nervous as you. You call me just to talk. And one of the things I'm going to miss.
So like you're sponsoring him.
No,
I mean emotionally sponsoring him to keep him in between the white lines.
His mother's a spectacular.
Well, she sounds amazing.
But the thing I'm going to miss most. You know, Avery, this other young man that was done in the criminal justice system, came by. I kind of mentored him. I'm going to miss all the kids that I've met. And at this lunch the other day, kid's going to college, and he's Polish immigrant. He said, I want to thank you. And I go, why is that? He goes, I said, for this? Oh, come on, no. He goes, no. When I was trying to learn English, you had set up the program called ROMS Readers at the library.
Yeah.
And I participated, and that's how I learned English. And I'm going to miss that. Not the thank you. Just the knowing that when you've done something, this young man's going to college. This young man learned English. Those are the things that make this.
And this woman sounds incredible.
Single mom, janitor, three kids.
Amazing.
Two full rides at Northwestern.
As I said, God bless her. All right, listen.
And I just, because of the schmuck at 1600, they're immigrants.
Yeah. Anything's possible.
Why should we tell them, get out of here?
No, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. You never get an argument from me on that. You know that. What's All right, that? Now, listen, before you go, I want to give
you my risky business with my sunglasses here.
Yeah, and it looks good.
Okay. Yeah.
If we start playing old-time rock and roll, though, keep your pants on.
Okay.
Wow. Listen, you're always welcome here, and I hope you'll continue to jump on with us occasionally.
Yeah.
Wow, is that a weak commitment? Yeah.
Yeah. I want to be... I will, because I... unfortunately, have a soft spot for you, Bubba.
There you go.
I remember that's 10%. But from now on, you'll be paying me for the morning with coffees and not these donuts. I want something else. I would need a bagel, a little schmear on it with some lox and stuff like that. I'm not taking some of this clay stuff you have out here.
And are you going to keep doing the podcast? Your podcast?
You know, I don't know.
Well, you know, you have an open offer here by the Tribune Media Company to do it here.
Can I attack the Tribune Media Company?
Absolutely.
When I do it?
Why not? I do.
All right.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to South Shore to open up the last of the grocery stores that we've done to cut down on the food deserts.
Oh, excellent.
Okay. You want me to bring you something back?
No, I'm good.
You sure?
As I said, I don't eat anymore.
Well, I was going to do it anyway, but I could be an Uber driver for Uber food.
Jerry Taft's doing it in Florida. You could drive it here.
One other thing. Don't get in a car with me. I haven't driven for 10 years from Chief of Staff.
Wow, I didn't think about that.
That's right.
The bike is dangerous enough. Do not get in a car.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, I'll give you a great story. George Bush, 41. I'm getting it. Don't worry about them. I don't care. Okay. I would just put the blue lights on and rush down. All right, here's the deal. Bush, CIA director. Vice president, 8 years. President, 4 years. Dave walks out, gets in the back of the car. About 5 minutes later, he realizes it's not moving.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Oh, that's right.
See you guys. Hey.
Thank you. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Mayor.
See you guys.
That's Mayor Rahm Emanuel. All right, listen, there's a best of. We don't need to do anything else right there.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
We're going to come back and do our PGA Championship picks. Mary Vandeville could not be more excited. And in addition to that, give you an opportunity to win. Still to come on the program, Dean Richards in a special After 9 appearance and more on entertainment. Rokan later as well. So, and speaking of golf, quickly, Emil Esposito, the great Emil Esposito. Mm-hmm. He's taught you, he's taught me.
Yes.
He is up and teaching again for the season.
Oh, great news.
Best teacher, period. Here's the number, 847-764-4653. Late Mother's Day present, early Father's Day present, whatever. Nobody better than my pal and your pal, Emil.
I got to go see him. He changed my life, Steve.
I know he did. Yeah, yeah. Helped you in all things.
Yep.
847-764-4653. And good morning, Emil. It's 8:49. We'll come back with those picks next on 720 WGN.
Man, I hit him fat and I hit him thin. I roll him in the bunkers, man, I hit him again. Slice him in the bushes. Crank him in the creek. I pop that sucker up and hook it out in the street.
Jared Payton's golf outing's coming up, and Roe and I are going to be heavily involved in that. So we'll tell you about that in the next few days.
Steve, we're doing our PGA picks right now.
Yes.
I am going to give away a golf foursome at the Preserve at Oak Meadows, an award-winning course in Addison, Illinois. Learn more and book your tee time at dupagegolf.com. We're giving away foursomes for each golf major where we do picks, and that's the seventh caller right now.
And I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to keep score.
Well, I'm also going to keep score.
Okay.
Because I'll need to go refer back to it.
Michael Heidemann.
Why are you keeping score over there?
I just think that you have struggled with math. Michael Heidemann.
I do not at all.
It's a joke.
Okay.
Michael Heidemann, do you have any idea what we're talking about? No, he is. All right, we got Michael's pick. Super Joe, yours.
I'll take my paisan, Molinari.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll take, Koepka.
All right, one more.
And is Tiger Woods playing still?
Yeah, he still is. Winning score.
I don't want him.
Well, you don't want him?
No, I don't.
Who's your third pick?
I'll take Rory again. And I'll go with a -2 for the winner.
-2. All right, David.
Is Tiger Woods playing again?
He actually is.
Yeah. Rory McIlroy, Brooks Koepka, and Xander Schauffele, and a minus -7.
You're not at all concerned that Xander doesn't have the length on this course? Just throwing it out there.
I am a little concerned. I am concerned, yeah, but I just
long course.
I don't know.
John DeCosta.
Yes, I'm taking Seve Ballesteros.
Hold on, Seve, got it.
Eddie Porky Oliver.
I don't know Eddie Porky Oliver.
Yeah, he died in 22.
Okay.
Babe Dietrichson.
All right, and a winning score.
And Abe Saperstein.
No, that's four. We only need three.
Sorry.
Okay. And the winning score.
I couldn't choose +6.
+6. Yeah. All right. I really like John's chances. I feel like he's super focused. Steve Grzanich.
I'm going to go with my favorites here, as always. Carl Spackler, Jack Nicholson.
Spackler, Nicholas.
And Happy Gilmore.
Spackler, Gilmore, and you said Nicholas? Or Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson.
And a winning score?
-20.
-20. Okay.
Wow.
We have a new leader in the clubhouse.
Why don't these guys have to get serious about it?
All right, Mary Vanderbilt.
I won last time, remember?
Well, let's see if you can win again.
Won the Masters.
That's why you take it serious.
I know. I mean, business. I did my research. Mm-hmm. Not. I'm going with that Bryson DeChambeau because that guy that was on earlier told me to.
That Bryson DeChambeau, got it?
That's Matt Adams.
Matt Adams told you that, yeah.
Tony Finau.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going with Tiger because he won for me before.
And?
So I'm going, and isn't that right? 3?
Winning score?
Oh, 6. -6.
-6. Mary Sandberg.
I'm doing Rory.
Okay.
Brooks. And Dustin Johnson, -3.
Rory, Brooks, Dustin Johnson, -3.
I almost picked -3 on that one. I should have.
And would you like mine?
Yep.
You know, you almost sounded as enthusiastic as the mayor.
Because I'm concerned over there with what you're tabulating, but we'll address this.
I think you should pick the guy that's driving the cart. Doesn't somebody get to take a cart?
John Daly.
Yeah.
It's not good. Ricky Fowler.
Ricky.
Gary Woodland. And Rory McIlroy.
Gary Woodland's
who's
a snore.
Gary Woodland?
He's a snore. Who's your last guy?
Who's a snore?
Wow.
Gary Woodland.
And Gary Woodland's one of the best guys out there, and he's playing well.
And how exactly are we playing? Is it all three of the players added up, or just like
yes.
the winner?
How many times have you guys asked this? We've only done it the same way for every major.
If they get booted out, you're in trouble.
Yeah, because that way, if you miss the cut, your score is doubled. So in other words, if a guy goes 10 over, now he's 20 over. Right?
Who's your third pick?
No,
though?
It doesn't double.
Yes. How is it you don't understand how this is done? I haven't changed the rules on this one since we started.
I've never heard
the rules. Yeah, you have.
I've never heard that. What's your third pick?
Rory.
Oh, Rory.
Yeah, and -8.
Steve, so all of my guys are dead, so my shot, I'm probably not going to win.
You're even par.
Okay.
Yeah, because they're all dead.
You just have a woman.
It's 8:56.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah.
It's a special edition of Moron Entertainment on CLTV and 720 WGN. Let me go live to my fellow moron, Dean. Good morning, Dean.
Good morning to you, Steve. Not only is it special that we're doing it here in the 9 o'clock hour,
yes,
instead of the 8 o'clock hour, like always, but I am also on camera with you today.
Isn't that crazy?
I'm appearing with you on camera, so you get a lot of handsome here between you and me, the morons. You get a lot of baldness here today. This is a super extra.
But I don't know if CLTV can take that shot of me again, because I literally look like a black entertainer in this lighting today. You know, I've claimed it for years.
Do they not know that you have to use lights in television?
No, I think it's a choice they've made to not show me on. And by the way, one I can't argue with.
So we've got...
Look at this handsome right here.
Right? Isn't it a little dark?
Look at this.
Yeah.
Yeah, we probably have to put the shades down.
Ebony and ivory.
Well, in that camera has cataracts.
That camera has cataracts?
Yeah.
I don't know a camera could get cataracts.
Yeah, they get cataracts after a while.
We got it on a discount,
Dean, remember a few weeks ago we had to do you at 7:10 in the morning because we had some special circumstances and people were thrown off and they thought they were late for work when they heard your song. I wonder if people didn't go to work today because they didn't hear the 8:10.
Oh, that's a good point. Right. They're just leaving now.
Yeah, now people are going to be an hour late for work.
I mentioned, Dean, I don't know if you guys talked about this today, but I said this is a great day to blow off work and just go outside and sit in the sun.
It is a beautiful, gorgeous day.
And so what I did was I picked out some possible anomalies that you could call in sick with.
Oh.
Because you don't want to just call in with a cough.
And you know me, I love a good anomaly.
Yeah. So I don't know if you've ever...
You know what? I love a spinach and feta anomaly.
If somebody sounds like something you might try. Have you ever had fatal familial insomnia?
I don't think I have.
It's a rare genetic disorder which causes you to be an insomniac until you can't sleep at all and you die.
I got that.
You have that?
Yeah, I had it for about 2 years.
Have you ever had Capris delusion?
I have plenty of delusion. I don't know if I have the kind you're talking about.
Capris delusion is a mental disorder that leaves Dean to believe that people he knows have been replaced by imposters.
These are all thought that.
You know, you call in, you say, hello, newsroom, I can't come in today. I've got Capris delusion.
Right.
And I know for a fact that Larry and Robin are not who they say they are.
What do you mean, like they're just other people?
Or yeah.
They would be like aliens from another planet?
Well, it doesn't necessarily be aliens. Could be, you know, spies. Just could be Vladimir Putin in a
The
friend.
Russians. Yeah. The Russians are at it again.
You know what you might have, Dean? You might need to take the day off today because you have myostatin-related muscle hypertrophy. Hypertrophy.
You must be a doctor the way you say that.
The rare condition is characterized by excessively low body fat and twice the amount of normal muscle mass, making you appear like He-Man.
God, this is all me today.
All I heard you say was low body fat.
That's where I lost you? So that's my total interest. How about Marie Antoinette syndrome? Dave called in sick with that one day.
Yeah, I did.
Wow, is that where your head gets cut off?
Your head gets white. Your hair goes white. Marie Antoinette had that happen on multiple occasions. Apparently, so have I.
I believe they wore wigs back in the day, though, didn't they?
Yeah.
They wore those powder wigs.
So you're telling me it's not an actual medical condition?
I don't want to blow holes in your medical segment that you're doing here.
This is one of my favorites. Dancing mania. I have dancing mania.
I do have dancing mania also.
The dancing plague occurred between the 14th and 17th centuries in Egypt, where people danced uncontrollably for days until they fell down.
Wow.
You know what they also called it? Dance fever.
Is that what it was?
Mm-hmm. Hey, Steve, you know what else they called it?
No.
Dance like an Egyptian. Way-o, way-o.
John, earlier this morning, he was going to call in because he had something called boanthropy. And boanthropy is a condition where you feel like you're a cow. You actually think you're a cow.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
How is that manifesting itself, John? Did your wife find you out on the lawn, eating the lawn this morning?
Yeah. I was out. I was cutting. I was chewing my cud. And I call it cutting. It was embarrassing. It was just embarrassing.
One of the people on the show today, I can't say who, called in today with Alice in Wonderland syndrome. It's a neurological condition characterized by skewed perception where things in your life are bigger or smaller than they actually are. Oh, look at that teapot. That thing's huge.
Get all of this. You hanging out with Dr. Kevin Most all these years finally paid off with this fascinating medical knowledge.
The one that you want to call in with that shuts everything else down is Cotard syndrome, where you call in because you think you're dead.
That's the one I had.
You think you're already dead. Dave had that.
I had that.
Yeah. There's also something called alien hand syndrome, where your hand does what it wants. I've claimed I've had that several times, where people have walked into a room, and I said, no, it's alien hand syndrome. I can't do anything about it. It's a medical condition. So I've all given you enough stuff that you can work with today so you can call in sick for the rest of the day.
That's very helpful.
Thought so. Everything all right at TV this morning?
Everything is fine here today.
Who's that guy over your right shoulder? He doesn't look interested in a segment at all.
That's my writer, Jason.
He doesn't look like he cares at all.
Well, you know, he's been here since 4 o'clock in the morning, so.
Is he even awake?
Yeah, oh yeah, he helps me write my entertainment stories.
He might have that Cotard's thing. He looks like he could be dead to me.
In the morning, let's see. Jason, are you awake? Yeah. No, he says he's not awake. And now he's now he's pissed that I woke him up.
All right, here's what's coming up. Reaction to the passing of the great Tim Conway, Mick Jagger, Jimmy Kimmel, MTV Awards, all in a moment. It's Dean live at Channel 9. We're live on SEAL TV at 720 WGN.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard and
back live on SEAL TV and 720 WGN. Dean Richards is live in the newsroom. We got a helpful listener calling. They say they have a medical condition you could use to call in. This is Dave in Fox Lake. Go ahead, Dave.
Morning, guys. I called my boss the other day and I told him, look, I got rectal glaucoma.
Rectal glaucoma. I don't know that. What's the symptoms?
And he says, well, what is that? I says, well, I just can't see my ass coming into work.
Congratulations, Dave. You are a big winner. Not of any prizes. You're just a big winner. That's a good
I didn't
joke.
Even see that one coming.
Solid joke. Very solid. Tim Conway. You know, Dean, you have to be, this phrase I hate, of a certain age to appreciate the fact that Tim Conway was one of the funniest people ever.
Truly, you ask any of the working comedians who are out there right now, and they will tell you that Tim Conway was the comedian's comedian. He, you know, worked on breaking up his castmates. They would go through meticulous rehearsals before they did the Carol Burnett show. And then when it came time for the real taping, he would switch everything around just to break up his castmates.
I loved him. Now, you interviewed him, didn't you?
I interviewed him many times.
So did I. And he was always funny and always a super nice guy and always unbelievably inappropriate when the mics were off.
Absolutely. He was. And everybody will say that about him. Not only from the Carol Burnett show, not only from McHale's Navy that we're looking at some clips from right now, but he was a voice on SpongeBob SquarePants. He won 6 Emmy Awards, both for the Carol Burnett show and for guest appearances that he made on other shows. But do yourself a favor today. Go get on YouTube, put in Tim Conway, and watch some of the bits that he did. You will spend the whole day laughing. He died of what turned out to be water on the brain. There were earlier reports that he had dementia and Alzheimer's disease, but a family member said that the official cause of death was water on the brain.
And a rare form of the condition, yes. But it was not Alzheimer's or dementia.
Yeah, he was 85 years old. Carol Burnett has commented on what an honor it was to work with him, to be on screen with him and off screen with him, what a gentleman he was. Vicki Lawrence said that Tim and Harvey are in heaven and the angels are laughing out loud tonight.
No, that's nice. That's nice.
There's just been one beautiful tribute after another from Conan O'Brien and from Richard Lewis. The younger comedians, Judd Apatow, all saying that they grew up watching Tim Conway on the Carol Burnett Show. And, there was just nobody funnier. And I could not agree with that more.
1,000%. There was a story that Carol Burnett told in her live show at Chicago Theater last year that many of you were at. And I'm only remembering the gist of it, but I'm not too far off on this. And the story goes, Tim Conway is somewhere in Jamaica, somewhere in the Caribbean. I don't know if they're doing some Carol Burnett sketches there, whatever the case may be. But Carol Burnett's there with her husband. Tim was single at the time. They wanted him to go out to dinner. He said, yes, come down to my room. They go down to the room. The door's kind of ajar, but the lights are off in the room. They go, Tim? Tim? They go around the corner. Tim's in bed, shirtless, candle lit, with a blow-up doll in bed with him. So I'm just going to need a couple of minutes. I'll be right with you. So he was a nut. Very, very, very funny guy.
Truly one of the greats.
Mick Jagger.
Mick, we've wondered how Mick Jagger has been doing. They canceled the Rolling Stones tour that was set to come to Soldier Field in June because he had heart valve replacement surgery. This video that we're looking at on CLTV right now is Mick Jagger. This is a man who has just had heart valve replacement surgery, dancing like crazy, very typical Mick Jagger-esque moves in a workout room. Apparently, he's doing pretty well. He didn't comment on this. They haven't said when the tour will be rescheduled yet. But if that's somebody who had just had heart valve surgery, I got to say, it can't be too long till he's back on the road again.
I think we all ought to have it.
Because, yeah, right.
Oh, man.
Let's all get new valves put in. Now, I will say this. The most disturbing part of this video that we're watching is, who knew Mick Jagger's dancing was rehearsed?
I know. I
was that's just, the part that's shocking to me, the fact that he practices that. I mean, look at him.
All the way to the bank.
Yeah.
I didn't know that hip wiggle thing that he goes backwards was a choreography piece.
I think he does that all the time. He's like a jumping bean.
Yeah, it's like he's in a dance studio. For those of you not watching CLTV, it's like he's in a dance studio and rehearsing his moves.
Right.
In a mirror, like
ballet literally, dancers he's do. Literally got yeah. the moves like Jagger.
Exactly. Exactly right.
A young Jagger.
Maybe he was inspired by that song.
How old is he?
75, right?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
If you look at CLTV, you could see all of us just looking up at the camera.
I know.
Right?
I know.
Yeah.
MTV Award nominations
it's like he's
are
God
up.
Talking yeah. to us, Steve.
Hello. Hello,
Dan. Yeah, the MTV nominations came out. The most nominations went to Avengers Endgame, not a surprise, on the TV side, to Game of Thrones, a little show that everybody is talking about.
By the way, I did a survey. You and I are the only people on the planet that aren't watching it.
And proud of it.
Well, John as well.
I have not seen one episode.
I'm not watching
it. Oh, wait. Everybody on the show doesn't watch
no,
it.
No.
I don't watch it.
We have got our finger on the pulse of absolutely nothing.
Right.
Speaking of finger on the pulse, Dean, I think one of the categories, I think there was a fix is in for reality royalty. Very Cavalarias did not make a nomination, but, you know, she used to be on MTV with Laguna Beach in the Hills. And so I think they...
Will you be leaving the show to file a formal protest?
Yes, I think that they kept her off the MTV awards list because she's on E! Now.
Well, now she's got that hotel show, too.
Yeah, Paradise.
Oh,
hotel
brother.
Paradise.
Boy, I am so behind catching up on all of this.
And if you were just, you know, if you're watching CLTV, which, you know, you should be, you just saw some footage of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She was nominated for Best Supermodel this year.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you never know. You know what they say, Dean. You never know what's under that robe.
She said, if Tyra Banks can come back, so can I.
Hey, your writer just walked off in a huff. He's completely gone now.
With the doily.
Usually he walks off in a huff on me much earlier in the morning.
And Jimmy Kimmel's got a new deal?
Jimmy Kimmel just signed a new 3-year deal that'll keep him on his late night show and on ABC for a while, which I'm happy to hear about. I'm a fan. I like Jimmy Kimmel quite a bit.
Same here. What's happening in the last half hour for you here before you have a meeting and all you guys get yelled at for whatever you did this morning on TV?
This is a busy, crazy morning for us here in the WGN newsroom because this morning, if we're able to just widen the shout out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Our fine news director, Jen Lyons.
We love Jen.
Actually hired a barista to be here in the newsroom with us today. There you see the barista right in front of...
What do you mean, like making special coffees?
Yeah. It's like we have our own private Starbucks.
Was this a reward for something?
Yeah, well, it's a way of saying thank you. I realize it's not something that we're used to, having management say thank you to us for anything. But there's actually been a team of baristas here this
about
morning.
That? Well, you know that Paul Rennie guy's a good guy.
Yeah, oh yeah, very, very nice. And
you say quite handsome.
I'm sure our barista's coming tomorrow.
Here?
I mean, if TV got the barista today, I'm sure we're going to get
the
barista.
I don't see why you wouldn't. Now, I will warn you that everyone's a little bit jittery around here today.
Yeah. They don't look like busy baristas at the time.
Yeah, nobody's...
It was much busy earlier. Most everybody in our newsroom this morning has had at least 10 espressos today.
Is that your drink of choice, Dean?
I am an Americano. Myself. I've been enjoying a nice iced Americano.
The cups look a little tiny.
Myself. Well, that's for the espresso.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Do the radio IDs work in the TV building over there?
Sure. Just
no,
go on over.
They don't.
Yeah, help yourself.
Some do.
Yeah.
Just go on over. Tell the people in the guard tower that with the guns, it's fine. It's just tell them it's you.
Come on over. It's definitely worth getting a free $1 cup of coffee.
And Paul Rennie, who also is the general manager of this place.
Is that him walking in? Wait a minute. By the stairs?
No. No, that was just some other
handsome. You mention him on the air, and right away he shows up on camera.
Was he going to do that thing where he accidentally walks into the shot?
Right.
You know what we call that move? That's a Larry Wirt.
Yeah.
So
I got to point out engineer Bob S. back in our master control.
Getting it done.
He's manning the cameras here this morning.
Getting
that
it done.
That was a beautiful smooth pan over
right.
and pan back, as we call it in the TV business.
So, no question. If he doesn't get an Oscar this year, I'm getting out.
Way to go, Bob. You get a free cup of coffee for that.
Yeah. And we will whine incessantly. The staff will, because I could give a rat's ass about coffee. If the coffee doesn't show up tomorrow. Did I say that on the air? That was a slip of the tongue, wasn't it?
You notice Jason has just come back, now that you pointed him out.
Oh, because the segment's over.
Yeah, the segment's over, and he went to get his 12th cup of coffee also. Because it's free.
He, by the way, is up for an MTV award for most disinterested look on his face while we were talking. Thank you, Dean.
See you guys tomorrow at 8:10, our usual time. 8:10,
our usual time.
More on entertainment.
That's Dean, live from CLTV, and we're back with the news in a moment on 720 WGN.
For the first time in NBA history, there was a buzzer beater to win a game seven.
They get it to Leonard. Fall away for the win. Got it!
We have Portuguese, Spanish, Turkish, and Mandarin.
Let's go Mandarin. Now, what else is left on the board?
Our last one left is Turkish.
Leonard up to Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard içeriye düştü bu top. Kawhi Leonard. Vince Carter'ın kefareti ödendi.
You know who would understand that? John Williams' producer. I believe she speaks Turkish.
Ella? Producer Ella speaks Turkish. What do we got here?
They catch up to Kawhi Leonard. Leonard gets it up empty. Kawhi Leonard, pass. Kawhi. Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard. This ball fell in. Penance has been paid.
How about that? We were talking about that on the air.
Yeah.
I didn't know John had her do a translation.
And we also figured out the penance. Couldn't figure what that... Well, she said penance has been paid, and then she asked me, what would that mean? And it turns out it was for Vince Carter, former Raptor, missed a shot that would have beaten Philadelphia.
Oh,
so
sure.
This was sort of...
I remember Ro Khan and I were sitting around talking about that and around a campfire in Turkey.
You
know, it actually scares me when I hear Turkish people say penance will be paid.
Yeah, really. That's a fair point.
Right. Yeah, it's like the last... That's the last thing they said to Adnan Khashoggi.
After they said, come on in, we've got something for you.
Man.
It's 9:43. Ro Khan joins us. How are you?
I couldn't be better.
All right, so
you know what? Say that, but I believe I'm either having an allergic reaction to the spring,
mm-hmm.
or I've got nose cancer. I don't know which it is, but one of the two.
Well, let's hope it's the first.
Okay, thanks.
We need to do an on-air meeting. Did you get the email about the Jared Payton golf outing?
It's funny you should mention that. I did.
All right, so I haven't read it yet, but I did
see it just come in. And
need to make sure that we both answer it and make sure we're both copied.
Why don't you share with me what the details are, Steve?
Well, no, that's the end of the on-air meeting.
Oh.
That's it. That's the sum total of it. So, but anyway, we're going to be involved in the Jared Payton golf outing coming up.
I'm excited about that.
Yes, we are. How are you, bro? I haven't talked to you in a while.
I know. I've had some crazy things happen the last couple of weeks and been unable to make our little rendezvous here on mm-hmm. Wednesday mornings. So I
thank God we still have my rendezvous on your show. We can always enjoy that.
Hey, you know, you had a rendezvous on my show for a long time, and then I thought it was getting in the way of your afternoons.
That's
so you're
not
welcome
true.
Anytime you want.
Do you really not know how that went down? Here's how it went down.
No, I do not know how that went down.
Jimmy DeCastro didn't like the fact that he thought you and I were wasting too much time on our respective shows just goofing around. So Jimmy DeCastro came to me and said, yeah, Ro's not really comfortable with it long term, so we need to dial it back. He goes to you and says, I don't want to do it anymore. That's management.
That is management.
That's management. Right there.
Is that how that went down?
That's exactly
how
it went
down. You didn't
want
to do it anymore.
Yeah. The way it went down is I was told you didn't want to do it. You were told I didn't want to do it.
And then when I was hired, I was told that I was supposed to make this happen again. That's so
well, nice job, Mary.
I know.
I just the
only thing
say, you did a really good job with that.
I've done 50% of it. I get you on our show most times, but I haven't been working.
Well, why
on
didn't anybody? I hate to do all the management work on the air, but you know, sometimes that's the best radio.
Uh-huh.
Why didn't anybody come to us and say that you wanted to do this, or you would be willing to do it?
No, I'm not willing to do it. I just like whining.
Right. Well, that's why.
I just like whining. You know me. Ro and I will be playing golf separately as we continue to talk about things off the air, on the air. We have to set that up because we've been talking about that for 2 or 3 years. And also, I'm going to run a Jewel later. You need anything?
Yeah, I do, actually. If you've got anything for allergies or nose cancer, let me know.
Yeah. The mayor was on the final in-studio appearance of the mayor last hour. And a general consensus here, we thought he was terrific. Is that right,
Sam? As a mayor or on the show?
As a guest, he did a great job as guest.
As you know, mayor of a big city, there's no win. I think there's a lot of positives and certainly some questions. But I thought as a guest, yeah. And I thought today was one of his strongest appearances.
It was, Ro, and I'm going to send you the photo. He was wearing shades today in studio.
Of course he was. Yeah. He should do that on Stephanopoulos when he's on that, too. I'm not exactly sure what he's going to go off and do. I will say this, though. It's just sort of general legacy issue. I think he's done a good job as mayor of Chicago. Mm-hmm. This is an impossible job to do perfectly. It's an impossible job, I think, almost to do to a point where, you know, you're pleasing more people than you're not. And I don't know if he did please more people than he didn't, and it doesn't really matter. I think the city, 8 years later, is in better shape than it was 8 years ago. And you can't say that about a lot of a northern industrial American city.
No, it's very true. And people have unrealistic expectations, which is why I'm advising all politicians to do this when they campaign. Look, I don't know how much I can get done. Maybe nothing. But you still should vote for me, because the text we get after an appearance by the mayor is, yeah, well, how come we're in debt for the last 30 years? Well, he's only been in for 8. Yeah. And in the 8 he's been in, he's done what he could.
Well, there's only one way. You know, for all the smartasses who've in the texters and the people at the Internet Research Agency in St. Petersburg who are sending this text, the reality is that there's only one way to get out of that. Is, you know, you could stop spending, but then, you know, you'd turn into Detroit. I mean, no services. Then if you or you could raise taxes, like an emergency tax raise, which would drive business and drive people out of the city of Chicago. And they're having to do both, right? I mean, we're losing it. However, I want to point something out. You know, people don't get this and go, well, look at all the people Chicago is losing. Well, Chicago is actually, in terms of population differential, Chicago is growing in neighborhoods where these are young college educated people moving into Chicago. That's where the growth is. The decline is in the crime ridden neighborhoods where people are getting out and moving out. They're moving out of the suburbs, they're moving out of town, they're moving out into, you know, other states around the Midwest and in the South. And I get why they're doing it. They want to raise families in a safe environment. We still have to deal with what kind of the issue that is left behind in that, which is further decay. But that is not, this is not a recipe for disaster. There's a recipe here for a way to stabilize the city and to move forward. But are we in debt? Okay. I would like every one of those people who wants to tell you how awful the debt is, give me a solution that would actually work.
Well, it's like the violence. First one to raise their hand and tell us how to absolutely stop gang violence in any major city, you're a big winner.
Right. And it's not, and it's an individual issue. I mean, it's Eddie Johnson was on with us last week, and we talked to him exactly about this. And, you know, he said, and, you know, it's very unpopular to say this, but it's true. He said it starts with families, right? I mean, the problem is that the vast majority of people who find themselves in contact with law enforcement are the children of people who found themselves in contact with law enforcement, and the grandchildren. You know, there's like, especially in the gang world doesn't see the non-gang world in any real way here in Chicago.
Of course not.
You could drive through, I tell people this all the time, I will happily volunteer to drive anybody through gang-infested territory in Chicago, because they don't see me. Mm-hmm. They won't see you. Mm-hmm. They are only looking for people that they know and that they are familiar with and that live in their economy, in their world.
Yeah, a threat to their block.
Right.
Threat to their territory. You're exactly right.
And that's where most of the problems are. Now, some of it's leaking out, and then there's other kind of goofy stuff where people are coming downtown. But it is the 500 kids running off the red line, you know, down Michigan Avenue, which, you know, is, I know it scares a lot of people, and it scares tourists, and it's bad for business and all that. Yeah, and the city's got to get that handled. But that's really not the biggest issue that we have here. So Rahm Emanuel did a pretty good job, I think.
You think Lori Lightfoot keeps Eddie Johnson?
I don't, but I think she should consider it. Well, she will for the summer.
Right. He's going to stick around for the summer. I hope she does. I mean, I think he's an earnest guy, and I think he found out that he appreciates the job more than it than he would have because he didn't want it. And I think he's making the best of a job that's fully political and responsibility-driven. It's really tough.
Yeah, it's awful. But it, you know, again, you have to have people who are really good at doing what they're doing. And, it, you know, the one thing I like about Eddie Johnson, I've liked about a lot of other police superintendents over the years, it's not about them. That's why I think Phil Klein was a great police superintendent and, you know, there's others that, you know, they didn't want to come in and be these dynamic public figures. And that doesn't necessarily translate well to what the day, you know, the hands-on day job is of that. And I don't think you necessarily want to jump up. You know, he did such a great job with the Jussie Smollett thing. Mm-hmm. I think that's where everybody stops and goes, you know, he stood up for his troops. He stood up for the city of Chicago. He stood up for what was right. He stood up in the face of the state's attorney who was clearly doing the wrong thing. And it was a very, you know, it was a good, that was a good Chicago moment. So he should be very proud of that.
And to bring it full circle, Rose on this afternoon at 3, and he just mentioned Jussie Smollett. That's how the Big Bang Theory is ending. Jussie Smollett's going to go on there and fake a crime against the nerds. I don't know if you heard. it's out there. It's been leaked.
Oh, God.
What are you doing today?
All right. Well, today we have a full show. Yeah. Can I just mention something that happened yesterday before I get to today?
Sure,
because I don't really have the plug sheet in front of me. We were on the web for an hour yesterday in between our CLTV show, which, of course, you know, we're on CLTV now, but we're on CLTV also in the afternoon from 3 to 4. And we had nothing to do for an hour because we held everything because we were just doing the web show during the White Sox game. So we ended up discussing, I don't know how we turned into this, but CBD oils. And then we sent Kevin Powell. Do you remember him?
No, not familiar.
He is
happy 30th, buddy, by the way. Just turned
30. We sent him out onto the street to go find us CBD oil so that we could get CBD'd up before we started the regular part of the broadcast again.
Okay.
It was one of the craziest hours I have ever done, ever in 30 years on radio, and we got CBD.
Do you play any of that back today, or will you listen to any of it, or is it too uncomfortable?
I'm just saying that there are things on there that you could not play on the radio.
Well, and looking forward to hearing it.
Yeah, it was really. And now I've decided that when we're on the web, we're going to do a total black market show on the web.
Boy, if I thought of all the times I tried to get Devlanta CBD'd up, and now this.
Mm. Oh my God! And she was driving it. She was like, all right, "Where are we going to get?" Because Kevin couldn't find it. We went down to Mr. Patel's store down in the basement of our building, and we thought he for sure would have it.
This is such a ridiculous job. It really is.
And then Anna the whole time was like, "Oh my God, no, you got to go to CBS. They got it at CBS."
That's fantastic. Anna DeVlanta's dealer.
Oh, it was a total stoner moment.
All right, this afternoon, Rokan with Anna DeVlanta starts at 3. See ya.
Bye.
All right, let's do this. Hey, Dave, you know the coach, the old coach?
Oh, the coach?
Yeah, I thought
the
it was...
The guy calls you Cochran?
Yeah, I just thought it was football. Apparently, he's an expert on everything. He had somebody he wanted to add on the NBA draft lottery.
Oh, really?
Coach, good morning.
Good morning, Cochran.
Yes. Yes, well, I didn't know you knew basketball.
What do you mean? I know everything.
And do you have a history with basketball?
Yeah, basketball. They tell me it started in 1946. That's a bunch of BS.
It is?
Yeah, I started in 1941, did it locally. It was called, really simple, we just laid it out, the Illinois basketball season. The IBS ran from 41 to 43. Everybody got paid from the salary travel department, so every Friday they get an STD.
The salary travel department, therefore an STD. All right, well, listen, we're short on time today, but would you be willing to come back and tell us more?
Oh, yeah, no problem. You know, you're amazing to me, Cockwood. You got your own radio show. You play a lot of golf. You do stand-up comedy. You're an actor. Is there anything you can do?
I'll see if I can commit to something and get back to you. The Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. That's where Steve is next. MyPillow's rolled out their best deal ever, the lowest price ever offered on radio or television. Right now, you can get a two-pack of MyPillow premium pillows for $69.98. That's only $34.99 a pillow. And as you know, when I leave in the morning, I say, see you later, pillows. Talk to you later. Be back later, pillows.
I get that. I love my MyPillows.
That's it. Click on the radio offer button when you go to MyPillow.com. It's time to get deeper, more restful sleep and ditch that poorly constructed, flat, worn-out pillow you've been sleeping on for years. I mean, your pillow may be the type that it's so, you know, flat and crazy. I mean, you know, at one point, I was talking to a friend of mine. He folded his wife. He folded his wife. Oh. He thought it was his pillow. Click on it. Can you tell him out of material?
If my pillow could talk.
Click on the radio special. Use the promo code WGN. You get the MyPillow Premium 2-Pack Special for $69.98. That's $34.99 a pillow. Their lowest price ever offered on TV or radio. 800-299-9579 or go to MyPillow.com. The promo code's WGN, MyPillow.com. 800-299-9579. The promo code is WGN. Hi, Bill and Wendy.
Hello, Steve.
How are you today?
Nice to see you. I love you.
I love you.
Still, one day later.
Amy Cochran, the world's nicest person.
Yeah.
Yesterday said... She calls me father. Father, are you okay?
Hmm.
And I said, yeah, why? She goes, I heard you trying to get people to tell you that they love you for 2 hours this morning. I said, frankly, you never sounded older.
Oh, no. That's not good.
It's very funny. Very funny. What are you guys doing today?
Steve, we're talking about this magazine that I hold in my hand.
Highlights. Now, I can get
Highlights.
You grit.
Oh, that would be nice. Yeah. I would love to have
grit. I can get you a deal
well.
On grit.
Boy, did I love this magazine.
This is such a great magazine. And neither Wendy nor I are having dental work done, but we're still reading Highlights. And specifically, on the bonus hour a few weeks ago, we were talking about Goofus and Gallant. Do you remember Goofus and Gallant?
Yeah, cartoon and Highlights.
The two little boys, one always doing well, the other always doing badly. Mm-hmm. So we're going to find out about their origins today.
Mm. Would you be Goofus or Gallant? I bet Gallant.
I'm more Gallant, yeah. Wendy, that leaves.
Never mind. All right. Don't you have to go?
We'll come back tomorrow.